All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablets, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yoel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
Well, guess what? I am dead. Dead to you as can be.
I'm sorry, Mama.
People always debate it. Who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb question. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite. Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.
Look at the air. Look at the
retreat, 'cause they know I can beat them and eat them in a battle, and the rep won't cheat them. I'm the best, taking out all
Cool J, turkeys, I'm back. Like an old battleship, LL, I'm bad. All the rappers know when I enter the center, they say, yo, yo, there he go. My paycheck's large, Mr. Bogart in charge. Not a punter or a hunter from a rap pool lodge. The original tar, teaching how to be hard. Take the skin off a snake and split a pea from a pie. You're a novice, I'm noble, and I dissect with my tongue. Not a till of the hunt, I know Abdullah and son. My vocals exact, like racking pinion in a jag. You try to brag, you get your rhymes from a grab bag. No good scavenger.
I like to introduce myself. My name is Abismarkie, and well, I'm the human orchestra called Abismarkie. Making music all the way is my specialty. Why not go boom? I want you. Girls get excited when they hear my lyrics. They wanna recite them. I know y'all in the mood. Just go with the flow, and I can play rapping records and all disco, like Beat It, Billie Jean, by Michael Jackson, all the treasures to your ranking. They gon' ask you when you hear me do it. You will be shocked and amazed. It's the brand new thing they call the human beatbox craze. I rock on the mic, you know the bomb that I say. All the people like, I get the crowd jumping, get the girls' hearts thumping. All the party people say, isn't he something? Rock from New York City all the way down south. Staying around to making music, look my mouth. I'ma tell your party people how I began. It started when I'm living in Long Island. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to play in the streets, making sounds with my mom, all sorts of beats. Grown people used to say, what? Grown people used to say, what? Ruin that. Making that strange noise, it was like for all the bikers and all the homeboys. Then I tried it at a homeboy's basement party. They thought it was a record laying over me. When they came by the DJ and saw who it is, they said, make the music with your mouth, biz.
Make the music with your mouth, biz. Make the music with your mouth, biz.
It's a moving combination with your lip, tongue, and toe. Use your teeth in your nose for a mysterious I know. I like doing it as a hobby or a job. People treat me like a star and surround me in the ball. It's not all about spitting, breathing hard and chilling. You need practice, be ambitious and feeling. Let me tell you part of people, you gotta admit. Anything that you want, you gotta work hard for it. That's why I like doing sounds. It's hard to achieve, make it two or three sounds. And one time you can't believe, when I walk down the street, people crowd around me. It's like all them sounds and one time it's marquee. I jumped to take a lot of practice and lip control. I've been doing this since 15 years old. And everywhere I do it, the people say I'm good. I even get big respect in my own neighborhood. I'm telling you a fact, it's just like it is. Even mom, pops, and cops say, what up, biz? Everywhere I go, I always rock the boat. Gonna end this rhyme with this one note. Not gonna act conceited and say I'm the best, but I'm guaranteed to pass any kind of test. I say they're fine with funky fast lyrics. When I do the beat, the party people going to the spirit.
Make the music, 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 make the
sure that's why I'm here. To say today that I'm doing my beat in a special way. Making musical tunes orally, I have perfected. I'm very well known, greatly respected. I like to thank people without no doubt. Peace, high party people, it's time to break.
Make the music, make the music, make the music with your mind.
Cool breeze, who's known as the champ. Straight Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp. Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shoot. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. The C stands for Cool Breeze, who's known as the champ. Freddie Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp. Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook.
Baby, let's run away. I get lost in the day. I love that you love what you do, and just like any other girl, baby, I love you the same. I know you gotta go, the DJ's calling you to the stage. Go ahead, baby, do your thing. Honey, complexion, body of a goddess, 22, was on Alexis, name Alexis. By the way, her Texas, big face Rolexes. While she's undressing, man, I'm stressing. She's extremely blessed, extremely blessed.
If you a chicken head, go somewhere and lay some eggs. I make you make your bed, taste that head. I got a move that'll break your leg. Know what I'm talking about? Known to kill pussy nigga, chalk it out. Our first date was the Waffle House. Different day, different escapades. If they don't like it, their opinion like Escalade. Everybody got one.
Body of a goddess, 22, was on Alexis, name Alexis. By the way, her Texas, big face Rolexis. While she's undressing, man, I'm stressing. She's extremely blessed, extremely blessed. Extremely blessed, extremely blessed.
She slow grinded the whole time. I told her have a seat, you sitting on a gold mine. Big, big ass, long hair, thick thighs. Eat lobster tail like french fries. Yeah, I'm the type to buy you a car for the fifth time. This skinny nigga doing big time. Wait, dinner dates, I demonstrate how to penetrate. If you ain't with it, it's a lemon date.
Body of a goddess, 22, was on Alexis, name Alexis. By the way, her Texas, big face Rolexis. While she's undressing, man, I'm stressing. She's extremely blessed, extremely blessed. Extremely blessed, extremely blessed. Extremely blessed, extremely blessed. Extremely blessed, extremely blessed.
Make me go all out, up in here, y'all gon' make me act. to you cowards, then it's gonna be quick. I owe your mans up in the jail before, suck my dick. And all the motherfuckers you run with, get done with, dumb quick. How the fuck you gonna approach the dog with some bum shit? I they go to gun click, 911 shit, all over some dumb shit. Ain't that some shit? Your niggas remind me of a strip club. Cause every time you come around, it's like, what? I just gotta get my dick sucked. And I don't know who the fuck you think you talking to, but I'm not him, I explain. So watch what you do, or you gon' find yourself buried next to someone else. And we all thought you loved yourself, but that couldn't have been the issue. Or maybe they just saying that now cause they miss you. And a nigga tried to diss you, that's why you laying on your back looking at the roof of the church. Preacher telling the truth and it hurts.
Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
Off the chain, I leave niggas soft in the brain. Cause niggas still want the fame, off the name. First of all, you ain't rap long enough to be fucking with me. And you ain't strong enough. So whatever it is you puffin' on, that got you thinking that you Superman. I got the kryptonite, should I smack him with my dick in the mic? Y'all niggas characters, not even good actors. What's gonna be the outcome? Let's add up all the factors. You whack, you twisted, your girl's a hoe. You broke, the kid ain't yours, and everybody knows. Your own man say you stupid, you be like, so, I love my baby mother, I never let her go. I'm tired of weak-ass niggas whining over foot that don't belong to them. Fuck is wrong with them? They fuck it up for real niggas like my mans and them, who get it all with the shrimp or the hands with them.
Man, y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
I bring down rain, the heaviest curse ahead. No more talking, put him in the dirt instead. You keep walking, that you trying to end up red. Cause if I end up dead, I end up dead. Cause you just soft type nigga, fake up north type nigga, push like a soft white nigga. Dog is a dog, blood thicker than water. We done been through the mud and we quicker to slaughter. The bigger the order, the more guns we run out. When up in there, everybody come out. When nobody burn out, sun in the sun out. I'ma keep the gun out, nigga running his mouth. I'ma blow his lung out. Listen, your ass is about to be missing. You know who gon' find you? Some old man fishing. Grandma wishing your soul's at rest, but it's hard to digest with the size of the hole in your chest.
Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
One, two,
meet me outside. Meet me outside. Meet me outside. On my side. Don't meet me outside. Meet me outside.
Catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Don Coleon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or GeorgiaGossip.com.
WGAG Radio.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الواري الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
A fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other...
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact segment tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
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 Hot diggity damn politics.
Hot diggity damn politics.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust Panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust Panel.
The Brain Trust Panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust Panel.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everything.
Hot damn politics. Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Only on WGAG Radio.
Radio.
Moringa. Oh, moringa. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, I know you want the best.
Yeah,
I know you want the best in the octagon. Pure protein. Superfood on the planet. Oh, yeah. Oh, give me antioxidant. Oh, the protein, baby. Oh, yeah. Moringa. Oh.
You want the best antioxidant, pure protein, superfood on the planet? Let Greener Greens supply you with their raw organic moringa. Moringa is a super immune booster, providing a powerhouse of minerals and amino acids. Visit Greener Greens on the World Wide Web at www.greener-greens.com and place your order of moringa today. Available in 8 and 16 ounces, along with their many other organic superfoods. Call Greener Greens at 510-479-6406 and place your order of moringa today. Remember, the greener the leaner, Greener Greens. Oh.
Wait a minute, hold up.
We're not talking about surviving the beauty shop. We're not even talking about surviving midday traffic. We're talking about
surviving the game.
Life is a game played on the biggest stage. The objective is to survive. Kick it with me every Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yoel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
That's right, goddammit, that's right. What up, everybody? Welcome, everybody, to the L's Holy Tablet Show, man. It is Saturday night, 9 p.m. We do it like this every Saturday night on WGAG Radio. Please believe it. What's good with everybody? Special shout-out to everybody, and happy Mother's Day to everybody who has a mother. That's actually everybody on the goddamn planet. But not everybody has a father or daddy. But happy Mother's Day, everybody, man. What's good with y'all? Anyway, man, special shout-out to everybody that's in the after party, BTR, WJG Radio VIP chat room, call lines, and everybody else is accessing the Holy Tablet Show on WJG Radio from your own browser and iPhones and PlayStations and all that good shit. It's an honor and pleasure. Well, this is chapter 19, the last chapter of the L's Holy Tablet, but this won't be the end of the L's Holy Tablet show, okay? Because when it comes to a lot of information like that, we're going to have to rewind it because I'm sure we missed something. So don't worry about it. We started back from the beginning. Don't forget to get you a copy of the L's Holy Tablet from All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. The number is 1-706-468-2319. Holy Tablets are $75, okay? That'll get you in the game. And many, many other books that All Eyes on Egypt has to offer, depending on, you know, one's needs. That's what we do around this thing. All right. Anyway, man, let me show some love real quick. One time for my girl, J1, in the building. What's good with you, J1? Nefertiti surviving the game. What's happening with you, Neff? Sita Amma Aset Amun Ali. What's good, baby? Special shout out to my man, Newbie Rock Week 9, Rahubat Usra. Live antennas, my nigga Born Sue. Good to see you, sweetheart. Special shout out to the Queen Vita, La Bella Vita, our White House correspondent, also known as Miss Loyalty, in the building. All the guests tuning in, Charm 42, what's happening with you? Charmeen, Charlie O is in the building. What's good with you, Charlie? And one time for my girl, Awana's in the building. What's happening with you, Awana? Vortex Surfer, Meal Infinity. What's good, baby? But shout out to my nigga 25212, Jay Illa, DeBrock, Mush Mouse, Born Sue, Self Guided. Yeah. All right, we're going to get this thing popping, man, because this is here. Oh, we want to take it slow, my nigga. We can't rush this shit. Let me bring in, you already know, one of the baddest bitches in El Cologne, as well as myself, the one and only Nefertiti surviving the game. Can I get a mic check?
Hey, mic check. Hey. How you doing, Don?
What's happening?
Hey, I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm doing my best. Thank you so much for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing my best also. Yes, ready for this chapter 19. See the incarnation, how it incarnated Malachi Zadok. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's figure this thing out. Anybody else want in? I suggest you push one now or forever hold your cell phone to your ear. Going once. We about to get into this shit. Let's go. Jump right on into it, man. We are in the third edition of the El's Holy Tablets. For those that don't know, we're on page 1587, chapter 19, El Kiddur, Merduk, tablet 1, Malachi Zodok, incarnated. Everybody's in? You got it locked? Hold on a second. Feel like I got some boogers in my eyes. I can't see. What the fuck? What the hell? I got some blurry vision going on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, it's got worse. Oh, my God. My fucking eyes are blurry. I can't see. Hold on a sec. Damn. Yo, what's up with them blurry vision? Hold on a second.
Okay.
You hear that? You don't hear that, do you now?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's me spraying the Windex on my glasses. I was right on Wednesday, boy. I got to clean these frames. Clean the lens and shit, man. I can't see shit. All right, here we go. Look like I got barbecue sauce on it or something. I don't know what the hell that shit is.
Barbecue, hey, that's not a bad thing.
What are you doing for Mother's Day? What are y'all doing?
It's another day. I mean, we'll be together, but, you know, not going nowhere. Relaxing.
You
want to
see your mom?
She'll be over here.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. Then the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Y'all cooking?
You know we're going to throw something on the grill.
Okay.
Got to.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's
bring
up.
Some burnt flesh.
Favorite spot, the grill.
The burnt flesh.
Burn
yeah.
That flesh
up you?
So the Anunnakis can come down, the reptilians can eat.
Exactly.
What we do around this bitch.
What about you tomorrow?
What's good with Jamil, Infinity, Vortex, Sakim? I don't know yet. I've been invited to a Mother's Day dinner or brunch or whatever that's called, but I'm not sure
okay.
if I'm going to go or not.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Miss Brenda.
Yeah, shout out to Miss Portia. Shout out to all y'all moms.
All of them, that's right.
Shout out to Sakim Ra Mom.
Yeah.
Jay Illa Mom. Two
yes.
Mom Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Meal Mom. We got to get Meal Mom up today, though. We're
going
to have to
figure out
how to raise Meal Mom up.
Okay.
Meal said his mom's scared of that shit, the mom.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
right.
the Mars or the
right.
MERS.
The MERS, right.
The chicken flu. Yeah, man, we got to get Mama straight, Mia. We got you, boo. And, of course, happy Mother's Day to Grandmother Sita Amaset, also Grandmother Aset.
Yes, yes.
Isis Butter, she's a grandmother and a mother.
That's right.
I can't say he cooking on the beach tomorrow. Ain't nobody asked you to start bragging, nigga. Nobody give a fuck you gonna be at the beach, nigga. God damn.
That's what happened when Northerners get by water.
Even
in the concrete jungle
nigga?
So long. Right.
Nah.
He been in the concrete jungle so long, he like I'm by the beach now. I'm be barbecuing at the beach. You know he's a New Yorker now, he down south.
Good for you, nigga. Whoopie doo. You gonna be at the beach. Good for you, nigga. Shit. I don't
right.
give a fuck, nigga. I'm going to be in that Georgia red clay.
He in red clay.
Special shout out to Live Antenna's mom and Get Real. Happy Mother's Day. Everybody, man. Queen Vita, happy Mother's Day.
That's right.
Everybody in this thing, man. Newbie, happy Mother's Day to you, Newbie. Happy Mother's Day to you, Mush Mouse, all you single Negroes who raise your children.
That's right.
So all you single brothers, man, that's raising your babies, I like to say happy Mother's Day to you as well. So somebody taught y'all niggas something. So happy Mother's Day to your mothers for you taking over the mother position. Oh, yeah, you too, Mill. That's right. Mill is a mother. That's right. Mill Infinity, he takes care of his son. He's raising
That's
his
right.
son. Happy Mother's Day, Mill Infinity. My nigga Guru, happy Mother's Day. My nigga Guru got his son. That's what's up. I don't know if Midas on the line, but happy Mother's Day to Midas. He got his son and shit. That's what's up, man. Happy Mother's Day to you niggas, man. I wish all my baby daddies were mothers, too, so they, goddamn it, then, ooh, wee, this life would be great. None of them niggas mothers. They wouldn't dare try to take me. I could be a crackhead, strung out, selling pussy on the block. Them niggas would still be like, them your kids, bitch. I ain't taking no motherfuckers. Them niggas still, goddamn, would not step up. I'm telling you, they wouldn't step up. I could have slit my wrist and stabbed myself, been in a mental institution. They would have said, them shit. Bitch, you on your own with them goddamn kids. Goddamn. Some type of niggas I got. Any goddamn way. Get the fuck on. Move on with this shit. Give me a mic check, Newbie Rock Week 9.
Hotep, Hotep. How's everyone doing this evening?
Great, Newbie. How you doing today?
I'm doing my absolute best. Happy
Newbie.
Mother's Day to everyone.
Rahul Bat.
Happy
Bat.
Mother's Day to you, too, even though your wife, your
thank
children's
you, thank
mother
you.
Take care of your children because you don't do shit. Sorry-ass motherfucker. You want them niggas come
man.
Home and don't even got to speak to the child and you take your ass to your room and shit.
Don't
need help
jokes.
With nothing.
You got jokes.
Tell your wife
like
I said
I'm
happy
reading.
Mother's Day. You heard me? Tell your wife I said happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, thank you. I will tell her that. Thank you.
She don't mind you with us?
Nope, absolutely not.
Okay. She must be white. She a white woman.
Yellow her and all.
She got yellow her. Told y'all, I knew it was some yellow somewhere in that family.
You believe that? I got a bridge to sell you.
I buy it, too. I believe that lie. Nah, nigga, you two Nwapu out, so that means you ain't no way you going straight on the other side.
Good stuff.
You know what I'm saying? You like, I'm the only one that's going to deal with black people. Becky, stay on your side. I got to forgive myself for what I have done. I got to stick to Nwapu.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
Prove I'm still black, even though I got a white woman.
Newbie be like, she got dark hair and brown eyes.
That means you're successful.
That means you're successful.
You're successful.
I know goddamn Dr. York. Them women tried to hand Dr. York some money, I guess, for the end of the day or something. I don't know. I can't remember. But Dr. York told them bitches, don't give me no money. You know I'm going to end up giving it to a white woman. He said, you know not to give me nothing. Shit, I end up getting to a white woman. Praise God.
Oh, man.
Well, let's get it popping, man. Dorian, you ready, Dorian? What's up with you, Dorian? DB in the building. Dons and Brads. Let's get it. Tablet 1, begin all acts and thinking by using El Kaloum. Tablet 1, Malachi, Zodok, Incarnate. We're going to take
Malachi.
It slow. Chime in at any given moment if you like. Just don't break. Money yet. Just don't kill my vibe. You ready? Neff, if you could do me a favor, remove
the mouthpiece
from your nose, nigga, because we don't want to hear you breathe tonight.
Sorry. Okay,
That goddamn phone just be hitching up the Neff's nose, don't it?
Yeah,
goddamn, Neff, you ain't got a big nose and shit.
That be sounding like Biggie on here.
When I'm working with one hand, it creeps up to my nose. I will mute myself. Okay.
Well, come in at any given moment when you feel like it.
Yes.
So Neff don't know how to handle the phone and one hand. She got to mute. She ain't mastered it. I'm going to show you something, Neff. Put it on your chin. So you rest it on your shoulder and you put it on your chin.
Okay.
Yeah. Rest it on your shoulder like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Try to see if that works.
There you go.
That should help the breathing situation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, babe.
It's not smothered. My chin is not all on the receiving end. Okay.
Nah, nigga, you clear as fuck.
All right. We can do this then.
All right, let's get into it. El Kaloum, right. Tablet 1, Malachi Zodok Incarnated. Lo, I know you have wondered where did I come from? Why did I come? And who am I? I descend to this plane formless in form, a temple of the incarnated divinity to guide you. Circle around me, for like the sun, I am the axis. From me comes pure green light to warm your soul and to nourish your being, for I am the axis. Revolve around me, feel my love, and feed off my wisdom. For in me you will find overstanding. People say I am a liar and a blasphemer, but those who know me know I speak nothing but the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth. I came to guide you. Wait a minute, now. Why you got to be? You can't be breaking me up, man. Okay. I was doing good.
Wait a minute. You can't even put the sound effects on it. I was like, the truth, the truth.
I had to, man. That's what it sounded like.
Okay.
Sorry. Hold on. I digress, newbie. Sorry. So this shit is powerful. Let me take it. Can I start over, please?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Neff killed my vibe.
Ah, okay.
Lo, I know you have wondered, where did I come from? Why did I come, and who am I? I descend to this plane, formless in form, a temple of the incarnated divinity to guide you. You. Circle around me, for like the sun, I am the axis. From me comes pure green light to warm your soul and to nourish your being, for I am the axis. Revolve around me, feel my love, and feed off my wisdom. For in me you will find overstanding. People say I am a liar and a blasphemer, but those who know me know I speak nothing but the truth. I came to guide you back on the right path, the path of right knowledge, right wisdom, right overstanding, and right reasoning. The creation of the green tree. Doom. Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created a green tree with four branches of the four scientists. Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created a green tree with four branches for the four scientists and called it the tree of certainty. Shajur Shil Akuti Lot tree, or the green tree. Then he created my light, Malachi Zodak, in a veil of green emerald. Green is growth, as in life through herbs, vegetation, and trees of the land, and allergies of the sea. The color green is conceived between the color blue of the seas, water, and the color yellow of the sun, rays, being the fourth color of the prism, the fourth point in growth or creation, the mental plane. My true, the color light, is violet, being conceived from the color blue, symbolic of the seas, and the color red, symbolic of the blood. So when I personify in flesh as a physical blood being, being mixed with the waters, life, I reside in the essence of the violet, which is at the tip of the prism, like the wing of a peacock, and placed it on the tree, and placed it on that tree. So my light said, glory to Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El. On it for 76 trillion years of the time of the Anunnaki, the Allahum. Then Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created the mirror of life, which is the light of the Anunnaki, Sarufat. They are the agreeable race of Anunnaki, angelic beings of the green light. And from its reflection created the Anunnaki, Garubat, angels of the lesser light, the disagreeable race of the Anunnaki. And the mirror was placed to reflect the light of Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, and it shined as Al-Nur, the light of Anu, who is also El-Elo. When the peacock looked in it, it saw its own form as the most beautiful of forms, and its own shape as the most adorned. So it felt embarrassed before Anu and sweated. Seven drops of sweat fell from it. So from the first drop, Anu created you, Cadman, son and Khalifa, successor of Atum and his wife Lilith. May Anu be pleased with you to be ruler of Nasut, the realm of the Enosites. From the second, He is to create one called Utnam-Fishtim, who is also called Noah, son of Lamech, and his wife Camilla. May Anu be pleased with him and her. From the third, he is to create one called Abram, son of Terah, and his wife Nuna. May Anu be pleased with him and her. From the fourth, he is to create two, called Ishmael and Isaac, sons of Abram, and his wives Sarah, which was changed to Sarah, or Sarah, which was changed to Sarah, and his other wives, Hagar and Keturah. May Anu be pleased with them. From the fifth, he is to create two, called Moses and Aaron, sons of Amram and his wife Jochebed. May Anu be pleased with them. From the sixth, he is to create one called Jesus, son of Gabriel, son of Raziel and Zamael, and Mary, one of the Anunnaki Sarufat. He shall be his only begotten in his time. May Anu be pleased with them. And from the seventh, he will create one called Achmed, son of Abdalat and his wife Amina. May Anu be pleased with them all. Then the light of Achmed, son of Abdalat and Amina, prostrated three times, one for each of the human senses. So 3 to 5 prostration were to become obligatory for his followers at an appointed time. And so Anu made 3 to 5 prayers obligatory for Achmed and his nation of people. And for the best of his followers, he made 7 prayers, one for each of the original tablets of all. Then the peacock looked at that light again, and it sweated from Modest before Anu. From the sweat of his nose, Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created more of the Anunnaki. From the sweat of his face, Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created the shrine in Kadesh, also known as Nippur, and Jerusalem, the footstool. The 7 tablets of forms, the quill, the sun, the moon, the veils, and the stars, and what is in the skies. From the breast he, Anu, created the guide, El Makti, the reformer, El Mujaddid, the female and the male living beings of knowledge, and the martyrs. The head, which is Asayed El Hadi El Makti, son of Asayis Abdul Rahman El Makti, of whom I descended. And from the sweat of his back, he created the visitors of the house, the Kaaba, the holy house, which is in Mecca today, aforetime called Bacca, one in Malakut and one in Nasut, and the places of raising your hands to the skies and the prostration to the Mother Earth in Nasut. From the sweat of his 2 eyebrows, he will create the community of Achmed, son of Abdalat and Amina. May Anu be pleased with him, of the faithful and the ones of peace, both male and female living beings. Called real Muslims. Let me read that out again. I had a cough. Wait, let's go back. 49. May Anu be pleased with him of the faithful and the ones of peace, both male and female living beings, called the real Muslims. Upon the plane of force, there is neither distance nor time. There is no heat or cold, summer or winter, day or shadow hour. From the sweat of his 2 feet, he created the planet Earth, from the east to the west, and what is in it. Then Anu said to that green light, look before you, O light of Merduk, who is also called Malachah Zodak and Mikael, son of Enki and Damkina. So it looked and saw a light before it and a light behind it and a light on his right and a light on his left. Tablet 2. The story of Achmed, Muhammad. Lo, in 570 A.D., called Am al-Fitr, the year of the elephant in Arabia, being the year in which Abratu al-Ashram, an Egyptian ruler of Sinna in Yemen, marched
Ethiopian.
With a large army of elephants
Ethiopian.
To conquer Mecca.
That was Ethiopian ruler.
The 105th degree, originally the 19th chapter of the Quran, is dedicated to this event, saying, didn't you see how your Ahmed, Rab, who is sustainer, dealt with the companions of the elephant? Abrahat al-Ashram, viceroy of Yemen, didn't he, the source of law, manifest that their Qaid scheming to destroy the Kaaba was a grave error? And consequently, he, Allah, sent airborne flocks, Tair, on them, throwing hot stones, Hajarat, from Sajil, on them. By throwing stones from Sajil, the source, Allah, made their flesh raw, their kernels of quickly consumed corn, kaas, and chewed hay. A child prophesies as the praised one, or the comforter in his language, Arabic, that is Ahmed, was born to a descendant of Kedar, second son of Ishmael, and his wife, Sayyida Fatima. This Ishmael was the first son of Abraham and his Egyptian wife, Hagar. This descendant was called Abdulat, a slave of the god, Alat, later called Abdullah, to imply servant of Allah. Abdulat was one of the sons of Ab al-Mutalib, the others being Hamza, Al-Abaz, Abu Lahab, who came from one of his pale Arab wives, as Zahir, Al-Haris, and Abu Talib, father of Ali, husband to Fatima, the sole heir of Ahmed. Abd al-Mutalib, who headed the tribe called the Hashemites, later called the Quraysh. The mother of Ahmed was called Amina, daughter of Wahb. Mecca, the capital at that time, was the most important location for Arab pilgrims. The year of the elephant was a dry, destitute year for many. Among those suffering the effects of the famine was the family of Al-Haris, son of Rifaz, son of Milan, son of Nasira, son of Qusay, son of Nasar, son of Sa'd, son of Bakir, son of Hawazin, his wife Halima, daughter of Abu Da'ul Ab, of Banu Sa'd, son of Bakar, son of Bakar came to Mecca, along with the woman, with the women of other nomadic tribes, searching for, searching for babies to breastfeed, a tradition of that day. Before she returned to her family's tents, she took an orphan child into her care, named Ahmed, later called Muhammad, who was destined to become the prophet of a new religion called Muhammadism, combining the religion of Abraham called Millah Ibrahim and the way of life of those before him called Al-Islam. With idolatry and paganism, they created, with the help of the Catholic Church, a newfound faith called Dina Islam, meaning submit to Dina, the female deity of the crescent moon, or so-called Ishtar. She was called the universal mother of all living things, the virgin mother of all souls, who's known as Diana, Artemis, Phoebe, and Cynthia. The chief seat of the Dina cult and worship was at Ephesus, where a great temple was built. When Ahmed was a baby, his grandfather took him to the Kaaba, a cube-shaped structure, the same shaped structure of the great temple of Solomon, a site of worship for its commemoration of his construction by Abraham and Ishmael, and called his name from Ahmed, the name of prophecy, to Muhammad, the prophecy fulfilled. Unbeknowing to them, Shaitan had given birth to his own prophet Muhammad, a son of a wicked man named Habib al-Hanifi. They named this child Musalamat. He was to undermine all of the unknowing followers of Muhammad. He was to lie in wait in order to deceive them, to give all of them except for al-Mukhlasina, the purified ones, who would be guided by the successor of Muhammad al-Mahdi of the Sudan, whose teachings would spread like the sun coming out of the east even unto the west. There you'll find the Mukhlasinas, the Ansarullah, under al-Mukhlis, protected from the touch of this worldwide deception called Muhammadism, whose followers are called Muhammadans, Muslims, or Muslims, with its own corrupted set of laws called Sharia, laws made by man, not found in the real Al-Quran. It would create a system called fiqh, rules and regulations, and fatwa, sentences. This Sharia is subdivided into itikadat, false beliefs, adab, moral immoralities, ibadat, blind devotion, mu'amalat, unfair transaction, yukubat, barbaric punishment, and lastly, the demon, al-hadith, would become the source of their information, and they would call his text the hadith, their guidance. A man named Musalamat, son of Habib al-Hanif, and make note that he was born 22 years before Ahmed, yet his name was Musalamat, which is just another way of saying Muslim. Waraka ibn Nafal ibn Asad ibn Abdi Uzza, the uncle of Khadija, was his advisor, as they plotted to create their own Quran to deceive the followers of Muhammad. This sounds very familiar. Who were all Nuwabians. To deceive the followers of Muhammad, who were all Nuwabians. Musalamat's followers, as they are referred to in the real Quran, as the desert Arabs are in control of Mecca, Jerusalem, and even the tomb of the Mahdi to this day. They formed what they called a sacred brotherhood, or the Ikhwani, Muslimun, the brotherhood of Musalamat, the liar, who was told by Waraka that he was inspired by Namus, another form of the word Nomus, a spirit being, which Waraka told this false Muhammad had appeared to Moses also. This can be found recorded in their hadith under Sahihu Bakari, where it is said, when Muhammad told Waraka, the Jew, what he had seen on Mount Hira, Waraka exclaimed that it is the Namus, who appeared from Allahu Rahman to Moses, when in fact this Muhammad mentioned is Musalamat Abu al-Haq. Namus means one who can take knowledge of the sacred thoughts of a man and use in contradistinction to the word jazus, a spy who seeks to know the evil deeds of another. The Namus or Nomo of the Dogon were reptilians or serpent beings called in the Quran shaitans, who were behind Musalamat. The Quran, called the Holy Quran or the Glorious Quran, as held in the hands of Muslims today, is a product of Jewish scholars and the Catholic Church's branch of the Jesuit priests under Pope Augustine. And they planned the poisoning of the Prophet Muhammad by a Jewish woman named Zainab bint Harith, wife of Salam ibn Mishkam, whom Muhammad killed in a battle. This plan was to destroy the original Quran, and replace it with their version of a Quran, written by Musalamat with the help of the Jewish scholars and Christian scholars. This was to be done by hastening the death of Muhammad and placing as his successor a desert Arab named Abu Bakr ibn Uthman, and to kill all the Ahlul Bayt, which was the family of Ahmed, starting with the attempt to kill the rightful Khalifa, the successor, Ali, son of Abu Talib, the very man who raised Ahmed. This plan succeeded, but assassins, from which the name Hashim, whose original name is Ammar, comes from, the original name of Ahmed's family tribe, stepped in and secretly assassinated all these fake successors. The false Khalifas, namely Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, had complied this false Quran, changed the language to their dialects, and killed all of the men who had memorized the original Quran called Al-Qura us-Saba'ah, called the Seven Readers. They were Imam Ibn Kathir, Imam Asim, Imam Abu Umar, Imam Hamza, Imam Al-Kasi, Imam Nafi, and Imam Ibn Amir. And they could not put their hands on Ali as of yet. He became recognized as the fourth Khalifa, even though he was the first, and took the handwritten copy of the Quran that was in his wife Fatima, daughter of Ahmed's possession, sent it to Kufa, where it was transposed into Kufic, and sent the original copies through Egypt, down into Sudan, where it was protected and never translated into any foreign language until now. Eventually they assassinated Ali and his family members, but not before their seed was well planted in the Sudan, from which sprung the great Al-Mahdi and his Ratib, who had possession of the original Quran, which in time also got infiltrated by political egotists from the bloodline, who formed an Ummah party, broke away from the original teachings of the Mahdi, allowing their daughters to marry into the Ikhwani Muslim, and the Ansar fell to ruin. Only for the prophecy of 100 years to be fulfilled from 1870 A.D. to establish of Jazir Abba to 1970 A.D., when the sun rose in the west and these truths are made clear. We are the Ansar Allah, the Ahl Bayt. This fake Muhammad that is responsible for Islam as you know it today, be it Sunni, Shiite, Ahmadiyya, Wahhabi, Ikhwani, Muslim, Nation of Islam, World Muslim Community, and the many other sects that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon, said would raise in the last day and oppose his nation, the Ansar Allah. For as the real Quran said, O you who are of the faithful, be Ansaru Allah. And again it says, O you who is of the faithful, if you help Allah, Allah will help and plant firm your feet. They plan a plan, and Allah plans a plan, and Allah is the best of planners. This plot of theirs was headed by Musalamat, who lived and ruled in the exact same time as Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin. This Arabian prophet of the 5th century was born in the year 558 A.D. and was killed in 633 A.D. by Washi, the Ethiopian assassin, by the command of Abu Bakr, who betrayed him, wanting to be the ruler of all of the followers for himself. A year after Muhammad died in the year 632 A.D., Musalamat was a very prominent leader who was very well versed in poetry. A self-proclaimed prophet composed his own holy book called the Quran. He considered himself a prophet over El-Yamama, a province in the southeastern part of Saudi Arabia. Before they planned their total takeover of all Arabia with the murder death of Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin, who started his mission in the year 610 A.D., while meditating in a cave, Hira, in the Har Mountain, the mountain lit up with light, a cylinder-shaped craft hovered above. a symbolic ladder was lowered, and in Elohim, whom he became aware of, was Gabriel, son of Raziel and Zamael, approached him and said, Ikra, read. And Muhammad replied, Ya Gabriel, Ma'ana be Bacardian, Anna be Cardian, O one sent from El, I am not a reader. And Gabriel repeated, Ikra, read, getting the same reply. Then Gabriel said on this 19th shadow hour in the 19th month called Ramadan, for it is very hot in that month, Ikra, read, by using the name of your Rab who creates. He procreated the Enosites from a clot of congealed blood cells separating. Read by way of your Rab who is sustainer, the Akram, most generous. It is he who taught Alam, you, by way of the Kolam, quill. He taught the Enosites that which they did not know. So Achmet knew this to mean that he was to read that which was already taught by scribes who wrote it by the pen. He just exposed that shit. Good God Almighty. He had to learn how to read the Quran. Did y'all just hear that part? Noob, I know you just heard that shit, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Because you know the Muslims say that goddamn Gabriel put the goddamn Quran in his chest and thus the Quran was born. But
right.
Gabriel, but he's saying that Muhammad knew that he had to read the book that was already written by the scribes.
Absolutely. Yep.
Damn. Yo.
Debunked.
Woo! Let me check on 302 right quick. Let's take a breather. This is deep. 302-442, did you want to make a comment? 302-442, I guess not. I guess everybody's in this shock and awe shit. Shall I continue? Hey, G, still learning. How are you? Okay, Neff, I see a comment. Did you want to make a comment on what we read thus far? You might want to unmute.
I was just going to say, this is when he was speaking about the Sharia law. That's Islam today, basically. All the corruption comes through the Sharia law. That's all.
No. Not just the Sharia law, but the Hadith. You want me to take
it
back?
Mostly, yeah. Hadith.
You want me to take it back?
Yes, please.
I can take it back because we can go slow. Okay. Newbie, you can find it faster than I can.
The Hadith. Okay.
Because he, I don't know where he said that.
I'm looking at verse 48 here.
I got it. 48? Okay. What did you say? Did you find it, newbie?
It said 48.
I was looking at 48 where it says, this can be found recorded in their Hadith under Sahihul.
Okay, well, let's go back. Let's go back because, okay, well, let's do it this way so we make sure that we know that Neff know. So they supplanted another Muhammad. That's the Muhammad that all of them worship, okay? And that's Muslimat, the fake Muhammad.
The fake Muhammad.
Right.
I see.
Okay,
right.
So now we can start from where you at because this is how, you know, here we go. You can go to 38, newbie.
Hey, 38?
Yeah, because that's when it goes down. He goes in and explains the law, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Man-made laws made by man.
Okay.
The Mohammedans.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they brought in the Sharia.
Right, we're going to get there now for you.
Okay.
All right. This is juicy. Protected from the touch of this worldwide deception called Mohammedism, whose followers are called Mohammedans, Muslims, or Muslims.
Muslims. Or Muslims.
With its own corrupted set of laws called Sharia, laws made by men, not found in the real Al-Quran.
Are we clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Those are not found in the real Quran. Okay?
Mhm.
Yeah, that's some shit right there. How they get away with that one?
You missed it. Let me go back.
No,
I said, damn, this sound like. I said, don't this sound familiar?
Yeah,
When he says Muhammad is was a Nubian, or
so that's Psalm 46. That's verse 46.
Okay, well then we keep reading. Mm-hmm. We'll keep reading until we get to that, because that's why I said this is how it's going to show. That's why I said, damn, this shit sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Fucking history repeats itself, because they're doing the same thing, changing the laws, adding shit to make it suit their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, changing the books and everything. Mm-hmm. Same thing. These are the same motherfuckers. Go ahead. Let's continue with 38.
We're at 40. You want to start back up at 38?
Oh.
Protected from...
Yeah, let's run it in one more time.
All right. Protected from the touch of this worldwide deception called Muhammadism, whose followers are called Muhammadans, Muslims, or Muslims. With its own corrupted set of laws called Sharia, laws made by men, not found in the real Al-Quran. It would create a system called fiqh, rules and regulations, and fatwa, sentences.
Okay,
so Sharia.
Stop right there. So this this law, or Sharia, now created a system of rules and regulations and added sentences, fatwa.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This Sharia is subdivided into itikadat, or itikadat, which is false belief.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that, it's not just law, it's added, it's subdivided into false beliefs, moral immorality, blind devotion, mu'amalat,
unfair transactions,
and they are
ukubat,
barbaric punishments. So when you read their Quran, you will read all that is in there. That's why I said it will include it. These are words of men that's in the Quran today.
Right.
Not in the original Quran or the real Quran.
So they added all this crap.
Right. And then lastly, the demon. Go ahead. Al-Hadith.
Okay.
And
so
if you have a conversation with any Muslim, you ask them where it's at. If they say anything about, they start quoting, you ask them where it's at, they'll say it's in the hadith.
And that's when you know it's made up.
It's in the hadith. That's what they
say. And what is
it's the in
the hadith?
Words of men. Words of men. Words of demons. Shit. And they believe it. That's why I say it's false beliefs. They believe it.
So the hadith
blind devotion.
Was inserted into their Quran that they made. Okay, I got it. Okay.
Listen,
so 41.
The original Quran was destroyed, but before they burnt the Quran, this was all a plot so that Muslimat could take over. Okay.
Right.
So they destroyed the original Quran. But prior to destroying it, there were learned scholars, people who memorized the Quran.
Right.
And as we read further, it spoke about how they tried to kill him off. And they killed all of them except one. That one is responsible for the Prophet Muhammad anyway. And also it was sent down to Al-Mahdi. That came 100 years after Muhammad. That shit was kept sacred. The original Quran,
so
in the hearts of men that memorized it.
Did Al-Mahdi write the El Holy Quran or translate it?
No.
Okay.
No. Dr. York translated the Quran and put it in this right order, too. Al-Mahdi is the great-grandfather of Imam Isa. Al-Mahdi, which came 100 years, if I'm not mistaken, after Muhammad in Sudan. Okay? Al-Mahdi is the one I told y'all that Laurence Olivier, I think, or Charleston Heston, one
Charlton
of the motherfuckers
Heston.
Played.
Right.
And Al-Mahdi is Dr. York's great-grandfather.
100 years ago.
Yeah, 100, I apologize, 100 years ago before Dr. York, because he was born in 1885. And then Dr. York came 1945.
Okay.
But yeah, and thus that Mahdi, which was also prophesized that he would come after the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
Now this is Nubian, what do you call it? This is in our story. Let's say that we all live in Sudan and we're in the time we've been waiting on the return of Muhammad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the form of Mahdi, because
Al-Mahdi,
that's who they said that would come next.
Right.
And
like
Al-Mahdi came in Sudan, or was born in Sudan, 1845.
Right.
And thus, of course, you can Wikipedia Al-Mahdi, even Mr. Whitey, got damn near about 15 pages of him, and all that he did. And he actually started the Ansarullah.
Right.
From way of the Prophet Muhammad in al-Islam, putting it back into its pristine purity.
Okay,
pristine.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And from there, of course, he had two sons, one Dr. York's father, and two Asayed Mahdi, or Asayed, you know, whatever the fuck their last name is. Shit, I can't think now. Fucking tail just. Okay, well, you know what I mean, though. But, yeah, gave birth. So, one, his father, and two, his other son. And his son, his grandson, became the president and prime minister of Sudan. Dr. York becomes appointed to bring Ansars from the east unto the west.
Right.
And to get us, the lost sheep.
Right.
But during that time, through those years of Muhammad, after Muhammad's death, they was waiting for the Mahdi, and they knew it was him. That's when the British and all the motherfuckers stepped in.
Right.
The British government and everything like that. And there's a part in here where it says that they even, did you hear that, when he said that they even controlled Jazir Abba? The pale Arabs to this day. Did y'all hear that part? Where it says that they even controlled Jazir Abba?
No? I missed that one.
Go to 70. It says only for the prophecy, 1870 AD, the establishment of Jazir Abba. But I think a little bit later or before that, I can't remember, but I know it said that they even control in that area of Jazir Abba. Jazir Abba is where Dr. York's grandfather is buried. That's where the land, it's called my father's land, or my father's house.
Verse 72.
Okay, 72?
I see it. Yeah,
Yeah, and they even have control of that. That's where both of them are buried, if I'm not mistaken. His father and Al-Mahdi. But let's continue. So I hope that helps, though. But, yeah, the fake.
Yeah, that clears up a lot.
Yeah, the fake Muhammad. That's the fake Muhammad.
Right.
That's the one, yeah. And we can read it again, you know, all the way back to where we left off. But it is some good information because it explains. And we say he was very good in poetry, yada, yada, yada. And they tried to set it up, Waruf ibn Naful ibn Asad ibn, the uncle of Khadijah, was his advisor. Deep, ain't it? Was his advisor as they plotted to create their own Quran. There we go now. Okay?
Right, I see it.
And to deceive the followers of Muhammad, who were all Nubians.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what they wanted, to deceive the followers of Muhammad, because I think at this point Muhammad has already passed on, right?
He had to, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yet Muslimat followers, are they, as they are referred to in the real Quran, as the desert Arabs are in control of Mecca, Jerusalem, and there it is, and even the tomb of the Mahdi to this day. That's strong.
Okay.
And that means that's his father, that's his grandfather. If they're even in control, great-grandfather, if they're even in control of the tomb of the Mahdi, that's in Jazir Abba. I don't know. You remember when we read the whole Wikipedia write-up on his son, the Mahdi son?
Mm-hmm.
And remember they banned him from Sudan? And he ended up staying in Jazir Abba? where his that's the Mockty's land. That's what Dr. York is saying, that the pale Arabs, the desert Arabs, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. the ones that control Mecca, Jerusalem, and even the tomb of Mockty today, that's some strong shit.
So they got control of that area. Okay, the pale Arabs. I see.
Even the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
That's some strong shit. I not like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. That's what Zari and all them pale Arabs, all them deceivers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what verse did we left off at? Oh, and then he goes into how basically they were demons, or Namus, from the Dogons, reptilians, right?
Right.
All right, so what verse did we take off at, did we left off at? Anybody know? Newbie?
Newbie.
You
know? Newbie.
Shit, I don't even know. Yeah. Well, I guess it looks like we're going to have to start this, you know.
Verse 41. Let's go from 48, if you don't mind, Don. That's not too far back.
Yeah, let's run it.
Okay.
Oh, I know where I'm at. Okay, we'll start back from there. That's fine.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, 48. Okay, what, newbie?
104 we left off at.
Ooh, that's a ways away. Okay.
You want me to start back at 48 or just continue at 104?
Just continue.
Continue at 48 or
104? No, let's do the 48 because, I mean, we need to get this clear.
Okay. Okay, wait a minute. I got a caller. Let me bring it. Doc, come on in. Give me a mic check.
All praises to the end.
What you got?
All praises to Doc.
Hey. I know Neff had asked about Sharia law, and I just wanted to add that y'all don't want to miss the point, because what he did there, and it's interesting, because nowadays in Europe and parts of Africa and even in the United States, there's a lot of Tamahus complaining about the fact that Sharia law is trying to be imposed.
Yeah.
A lot of them are complaining about it. You'll hear about it in Europe, especially in Great Britain. You'll hear about it in Texas. You'll hear
right.
about it in some of the African countries where those girls got taken in Nigeria. They're saying that these are so-called Muslims or Muslimat people who are saying that they, and in Afghanistan, the Taliban and all them, they want to enforce Sharia law. And if you look at the way the chief explains it in here, he makes it very clear that that has nothing to do with true Islam.
Right.
And he does it by even detailing the different sections of what Sharia law is. It's like a constitution. You know, it's like something that they have decided that this group of Muslims, so-called Muslims, fake Muslims, are running around saying that anybody, if they want to institute it for a whole community, whole country, not just, you know,
right.
anybody who happens to be a Muslim, but everybody living in this country, everybody living in this state, everybody mm-hmm. living in this community has to fall under these laws.
Right.
That's what Sharia law is.
That's why I asked about it.
That's the full gist of it.
That's why I asked about it because I had seen a Muslim on one of the conservative networks, and he was like, if Sharia law was implied, you know, like America would be a better place because there's no unfair practices. There's no interests and things of that nature. And, yeah, because
exactly.
I hear the conservatives talk a lot about Sharia and how they fear Sharia laws coming to America.
Right. They want it to be, when they say Sharia law, they mean everybody in that under that jurisdiction. They mean everybody. Whoever is living in this jurisdiction where Sharia law is, you all got to follow this. You're going to get your hand chopped off for this. You're going to get this happen. Women get that. Females can't do this. Men can't do that. Whatever those things that they use to base on hadith, they are using all that. And hadith that they even made, most of them are, none of them are in the Quran. And a lot of them are all made up. The gist of it is that they want to use this mostly in Europe because it allows them, and that's where the government is coming against the people in England, especially because they want to use it so they can do business with those Arab rich people, so that they can, so that banks can be allowed to get their billions. And so they actually are pushing their employees towards Sharia law, so that the Arab countries will do business with their banks in England. But the real point is that the chief took it right there. And this, remember, the Holy Tablets was written a long time ago, and he's giving you right there those basic concepts of Sharia law and letting you know that all of that it has nothing to do with true Islam.
Thank you, Doc.
Clear.
Clear.
Yes.
Newbie, clear. Everybody's clear.
Mm-hmm.
John Slam, you clear? Live in Tennessee. Word, Doc. Microsoft Word, Doc. Okay, let's continue. 48. We'll take it from 48.
Okay.
So let's go back to damn, man, this shit here. This shit.
It's a lot of heavy. It's heavy information.
Yeah, it is.
It's really breaking down al-Islam, what it is and what it's not.
Absolutely. So let's go to 45 then, about Waraka. Verse 45. For those that are just coming in, we're on page 1600. Chapter 19 and 3rd edition of the El's Holy Tablet, Tablet 2, verse 45. 45, Waraka ibn Nafal ibn Asad ibn Abdi al-Uzza, the uncle of Khadijah, was his advisor as they plotted to create their own Quran to deceive the followers of Muhammad, who were all Nuwabians, yet Muslimat's followers, as they are referred to in the real Quran, as the desert Arabs are in control of Mecca, Jerusalem, and even the tomb of the Mahdi to this day. They form what they call their sacred brotherhood, or the Ikhwani Muslimun, the brotherhood of Musaylamat, the liar, who was told by Waraka that he was inspired by a namus, another form of the word nomus, a spirit being, which Waraka told this false Muhammad, had appeared to Moses also. This can be found recorded to their hadith under Sahihul Bukhari, where it is said, when Muhammad told Waraka, the Jew, what he had seen on Mount Hira, Waraka exclaimed that it is the Namus, who appeared from Allahu Rahman to Moses, when in fact this Muhammad mentioned is Musalamat, Abu al-Haq. Namus means one who can take knowledge of the sacred thoughts of a man and use in contradistinction to the word Jazus, a spy who seeks to know the evil deeds of another. The Namus, or Nomo, of the Dogon were reptilians or serpent beings, called in the Quran, Shaitans, who were behind Musalamat. The Quran, called the Holy Quran, or the Glorious Quran, as held in the hands of Muslims today, is a product of Jewish scholars in the Catholic Church's branch of the Jesuits priest under Pope Augustine. Are we clear?
Yes.
Okay. And they planned the poisoning of the Prophet Muhammad by a Jewish woman named Zainab bint Harith, wife of Salam ibn Mishkam, whom Muhammad killed in a battle. This plan was to destroy the original Quran and replace it with their version of a Quran, written by Musalamat with the help of Jewish scholars and Christian scholars. This was to be done by hastening the death of Muhammad and placing as his successor a desert Arab named Abu Bakr ibn Uthman. and to kill all of the Ahlul Bayt, which was the family of Ahmed, starting with the attempt to kill the rightful Khalifa, the successor, Ali, son of Abu Talib, the very man who raised Ahmed. This plan succeeded, but assassins, from which the name Hashim, whose original name is Ammar, comes from, the original name of Ahmed's family tribe, stepped in and secretly assassinated all of these fake successors. Notice that he said the original name of Ahmed's family tribe, called the Hashemites, which means assassins, Hashim. The false caliphs, namely Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, had compiled this false Quran, changed the language to their dialects, and killed all of the men who had memorized the original Quran called Al-Qaru Us-Sabah, called the Seven Readers. They were Imam Ibn Kathir, Imam Asim, Imam Abu Umar, Imam Hamza, Imam Al-Kisi, Imam Nafi, and Imam Ibn Amir. But they could not put their hands on Ali as of yet. He became recognized as the fourth Khalifa, even though he was the first, and took the handwritten copy of the Quran that was in his wife's Fatima, daughter of Ahmed's possession. Sent it to Kufa, where it was transposed into Kufic, and sent the original copies through Egypt down into Sudan, where it was protected and never translated into any foreign language until now. Even though the assassinated Ali, even though they assassinated Ali and his family members, but not before their seed was well planted in the Sudan, from which sprung the great Al-Mahdi and his Ratib, who had possession of the original Quran, which in time also got infiltrated by political egotists from the bloodline, who formed an Ummah party, broke away from the original teachings of the Mahdi, allowing their daughters to marry into the Ikhwani Muslim, and the Ansar fell to ruin, only for the prophecy of 100 years to be fulfilled from 1870 A.D., the establishment of Jazir Abba, to 1970 A.D., when the sun rose in the west, and these truths are made clear. We as the Ansar Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, this fake Muhammad that is responsible for Islam as you know it today, be it Sunni, Shiite, Ahmadiyya, Wahhabi, Ikhwani Muslim, Nation of Islam, World Muslim Community, and the many other sects that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon, said would raise in the last day and oppose his nation, the Ansar Allah. For as the real Quran said, O you who are of the faithful, be Ansaru Allah. And again it says, O you who is of the faithful, if you help Allah, Allah will help and plant firm your feet. This, they plan a plan, and Allah plans a plan, and Allah is the best of planners. This plot of theirs was headed by Musalamat, who lived and ruled in the exact same time as Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin. This Arabian prophet of the 5th century was born in the year 558 A.D. and was killed in 633 A.D. by Washi, the Ethiopian assassin, by the command of Abu Bakr, who betrayed him, wanting to be the ruler of all of the followers for himself. A year after Muhammad died in the year 632 A.D., Musalamat was a very prominent leader who was very well versed in poetry. A self-proclaimed prophet composed his own holy book called the Quran. He considered himself a prophet over Al-Yamama, a province in the southeastern part of Saudi Arabia. Before they planned their total take... Hold on, shit. Excuse me. Before they planned their total takeover of all Arabia with the murder death of Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin, who started his mission in the year 610 A.D. while meditating in a cave, Hira, in the Har Mountain. The mountain lit up with light, a cylinder-shaped craft hovered above. a symbolic ladder was lowered, and an Elohim, whom he became aware of, was Gabriel, son of Raziel and Zamael, approached him and said, Ekra, read. And Muhammad replied, Yah Gabriel Ma Anna Bakarian. Oh, one sent from El, I am not a reader. And Gabriel repeated, Ekra, read, getting the same reply. Then Gabriel said, on this 19th shadow hour in the ninth month called Ramadan, for it is very hot in that month, read, by using the name of your Rab who creates, who procreated the Enosites from a clot of congealed blood, cell separating. Read by way of your Rab, who is sustainer, the Akram, most generous. It is he who taught a lamb, you, by way of a quillam, quill. He taught the Enosites that which they did not know. So Ahmed knew this to mean that he was to read that which was already taught by scribes who wrote it by the pen. The Quran had not yet been revealed. He was talking about previous scriptures. The next time he appeared, the first thing Gabriel said to Muhammad was the light and the kalam, quill, and that which day the newsbearers record. You, Muhammad, are not, I say not, by the grace of your sustainer, who is Rab, possessed by jinn, malevolent being. This was necessary for all who heard Muhammad's claim of spiritual visitations declared him possessed. His next revelation was, O you, who is Al-Muzamil, one wrapped in a mantle, rise up for prayer a little way into the shadow hour. Not quite halfway into it, just a little, Khalil. Of it or you, Ahmed, may add to it, it's your choice. And Ratil, recite the Quran rhythmically, yet well presented in a regulated voice. Nope, in a regulated tone. And then his next revelation, O you, covered under your mantle, Al-Muttathir, arise and zir, warn, and your Rab, sustainer, Allah, is Kabir, expanding in greatness, and purify your raiment, put on white, and shun the abomination, Ruja. And finally, he was given the revelation that began with 19 mystical, Bismi, Allah, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, in Arabic. Begin all things in the name of Allah, the Yielder, the Most Merciful. Muhammad told his story by saying this, that book is a scripture, no doubt about that. Instead of it, there is guidance in those who tremble. These are they who are faithful to what is unseen, and they get up to perform worship, and of the things we, the Elohim Anunnaki, have provided for them, they share willingly. These are they who are faithful to what was sent down to you, Muhammad, and what was sent down before your time. That's the other scriptures and tablets. And in the end, Al-Akhir, they will certainly be successful. These are the ones who follow Al-Mahdi, the guidance given by the Rab, Master. And these are the ones who are successful. Surely those who cover the facts, it is the same for them whether you warn them or do not warn them. They are not going to be faithful. The source, Allah, has put a seal on their emotional hearts and their hearing and on their eyes in a screen, and there awaits for them a supreme pain. And from amongst the Enosites, there are those of them who will say, we have faith in the source, Allah, for fear of the end, Yom Al-Kiddur. And they are not really in with the faithful. They only seek to deceive the source, Allah, and those who have faith. And they don't deceive any except themselves, but they don't perceive it. In their hearts, there is a disease, so Allah will increase their disease. And for them, there is an aching pain because they are liars. Musulamat, the liar, preached in the name of Rahman, along with calling himself Rahman, Rahman was introduced in their version of the Quran when the original Quran was destroyed by the followers of Muslimat. Muslimat got the name of his deity, Rahman, from the Torah, meaning the merciful. When all of the original copies of the Quran were destroyed and Muslimat and his followers introduced their version of the Quran, he collected portions of the real copies of the Quran and threw away three chapters, Surah Kal, maternal uncle, Surah Haft, pace, and Surah Nurain, illumination. They also changed the name of Surah El-Hamd to Surah El-Fatiha, as well as added the last three verses to the ninth chapter to exalt himself. The original Quran was on bones and skins in the ancient script in the dialect of the Quraysh tribe and was entrusted to Ali, the nephew and true successor of Muhammad and husband of Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. It was thought to be taken and destroyed by the followers of the false Muhammad, who later became known as the Khulafa, or successors to Muhammad. The original copies of the Quran was taken and completely burned by Uthman, son of Affan. False copies were distributed and circulated throughout the Islamic world. Unbeknowing, the original was protected and safe in the hands of the real Muhammad's true descendants in the Sudan. All of this was done immediately after Muhammad's death in the year 632 A.D. At 40 years of age, in the year 610 A.D., Muhammad taught that the Elohim Gabriel, son of Raziel, his father, and Zamael, his mother, came to him and declared him the final prophet of the seed of the teachings of Abraham, whom he called Ibrahim ibn Azar, after which he went for and proclaimed the bounty of Allah. Muhammad sought the truth and retired to a cave at the side of Mount Hira, 3 miles outside of Mecca, for peaceful contemplation. At 25, he married Khadijah, a Christian businesswoman of wealth. Her uncle, Warraka, was the scribe of the Bible and a devout Christian, told Muhammad that the Elohim Gabriel, whom appeared to him, means that he was a prophet. Through his conversation, he drew a shrewd businessman named Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Uthman, a desert Arab, the father-in-law of Muhammad by marriage to his daughter Aisha. He was the first recognized khalifa to the prophet Muhammad. Proposed to office by Umar ibn al-Khattab and his supporters, he was a red Arab from the tribe Taim, one of the leading tribes of red Arabs who mixed in with the black tribes of Quraysh. His father, Uthman, not to be mistaken with the third caliphate or caliphate, also named Uthman, was a wealthy, powerful man in Mecca, and Abu Bakr was also a wealthy merchant. He was considered to be very powerful and respected amongst the desert Arabs and was thought to be deeply devoted to Islam, when in reality he was a part of the master plot. He gave the Prophet Muhammad his very young daughter to leave the impression that the Prophet Muhammad was pedophile. She was Aisha, a very disloyal and evil woman who caused much dissension in Muhammad's household, bringing him much unhappiness and unrest, who also was a part of the scheme to disrespect and dishonor his noble daughter, Hadrat Fatima, right up until the death of the real Prophet Muhammad in the year 632 A.D. From that point on, he viciously and maliciously persecuted Ali and Fatima, the Ahl al-Bayt, because of his previous jealous grudges towards Ali and Abu Bakr's daughter Aisha grudges towards Ali also. He deliberately waited until the real Muhammad had passed so he could freely torment the Ahl al-Bayt. He used his power and money to influence people to support his claim as the rightful successor. Abu Bakr reigned for 2 years and 9 months, and he died after a long-term illness. He personally chose Umar ibn al-Khattab to succeed him, even though they were both red Arabs, as was the fake Muhammad, Musalamat. Umar al-Khattab, Muhammad's father-in-law, by marriage to his daughter, Hafsa. The second recognized Khalifa belonged to the great Meccan family of Banu Umayyah, the branch of which descended Abul Azza, who was Umar's grandfather. This was the tribe called Adi ibn Kai, also a clan of the tribe that also mixed in with the black tribes of the Quraysh. Umar converted to Islam after reading a surah, Taha, but not after first seeking to kill the real Muhammad. Umar was known as a fierce and aggressive man who greatly transformed the Islamic state, and he played a dominant role in the Sunni line of successors. He was feared more than loved. And when Muhammad was alive, Umar served as second in command of the Muslim army. In 644 AD, Umar was murdered by a Persian Christian slave named Firaz, who stabbed him with a dagger while he was making Salat al-Fajr in the masjid. He died 3 days later after he turned 53 years old. He reigned for 10 years, and an elected council composed of six of the oldest companions elected Uthman as the next Khalifa. So Umar was a red Arab whose descendancy goes back to Jordan. Uthman ibn Affan ibn Abdul Aziz, Muhammad's son-in-law, by marriage to his daughters, Ruqayyah, and after his death, Kuthum, he was a black Arab from the tribe of Umayyah, an affluent clan of the Abid Shams branch of the tribe of Quraysh, descended from Hadad, the eighth son of Ishmael, the son of Abraham. Uthman was an influential, well-accomplished, wealthy merchant from Mecca who became a close companion of Muhammad. His wealth and position was an asset to the growing Muslim community. Uthman is responsible for arranging the chapters of the Quran in the order that it was found today. Yet he did not receive any special instructions in collecting and or collating the Quran. Uthman was killed by members of the revolutionary movement led by Kafiki from Egypt. They suspected Uthman of plotting their death, so they attacked him first. They besieged his home and after a few days forced their way in. Uthman was struck in the head 3 times, stabbed in the side with a sword, and finally beheaded. Uthman reigned for 11 years, and at the time of his murder, he was 82 years old. He was the only Khalifa who was a black Arab besides Ali. However, his descendancy was not from Kedar, but Uthman's ancestry stemmed from Hadar, the brother of Kedar. These three men lied, cheated, and took away the Khalifa position from the rightful heir, Amir el-Mu'minin Ali, on him peace. Then they senselessly persecuted him and his family. These three men were the founders of the Orthodox Sunni Muslim sect, and none of them were of the bloodline of Muhammad, and their prophet Muhammad, as taught throughout the Muslim world today, was none other than Musalamat. When Musalamat approached Muhammad 628 AD to create an alignment and was rejected, Musalamat became insulted and set out to have Muhammad killed by poisoning. At the same time, there was a woman, the wife of a Jew named Salam ibn Mishkam, that Muhammad had previously ordered killed, giving her reason to swear vengeance on Muhammad. So Zainab bint Harith sought revenge by going to Musaylimah himself was a Jew, and together they arranged the assassination of Muhammad by poisoning. In the year 629 A.D., to celebrate the victory over a Jewish-occupied district called Kabar, Muhammad and his men had a feast. Zainab herself served a specially prepared poisoned lamb to Muhammad and his men. Muhammad swallowed one bite of the poisoned meat before he realized by his taste that it was contaminated. Muhammad did not die immediately. However, he did get sick, and he felt the effects of this poisoning up until his death. But it was 3 years later, in 632 and 2 A.D. However, one of his men named Bashar ate a large portion of the meat and died instantly. As for Zainab, she was put to death immediately. With Muhammad out of the way, Musaylimah could now proceed with his proclamation that he was the final prophet and the final apostle of all the world, and that he could intercede on judgment and get anyone in paradise, and that his own holy book called Al-Quran, Al-Karim, was the final revelation to all humanity on the planet Earth. He added a cornerstone to the Kaaba called Ruknul Yamani in acknowledgement of his god Rahman, introduced Kaaba worship, placing a set of collected incidents and sayings which became known as the Sunnah and the Hadith of men above the words of Allah, and added the name Muhammad, one who is worthy of praise as himself equal to Allah. He became more of a threat to Abu Bakr Abdullah, son of Uthman, so Abu Bakr decided to order Musaylimah killed. After several blunders in different battles, Abu Bakr sent Khalid bin Walid as the new commander of the Muslim army. The Muslims and the warriors of Musaylimah met at Aqaba. Eventually, Musaylimah was cut down by Washi, an Abyssinian slave of Jabbar B. Mut'im. He was the same slave who had killed Hamza, the beloved uncle of Muhammad, at the Battle of Uhud. Washi was a hired assassin, hired by a bitter enemy of Islam, Hind, wife of Abu Sufyan, a staunch enemy of Muhammad. Hind, like Zainab, had several relatives slaughtered at the hands of the real Muslims. So in vengeance, she offered Washi his freedom for the murder of Hamza. And so Washi, who had since Hamza's death converted to Islam, was trying to make amends for his wrongdoings, accepted the assassin's role. Once again, in the murder of Musaylimah, using the very same spear as a result of the Battle of Aqaba, many of the men who committed the original Quran to memory, like Ali, called guardians of the original Quran, were brutally slain. This happened prior to the battle. Musaylimah ordered his men to seek out and slay all those who were Qurra, persons noted for committing the entire Quran to memory and teaching it to others. These futile attempts appeared to be successful for the worldwide spread of the worship of Muhammad and the Kaaba and many other pagan practices introduced into al-Islam. But it will be restored in the name of Allah to its pristine purity. Allahu Akbar wa Lila Alham. There it is, right there. Fucking beautiful. Straight. Whoa. All right. Anybody want to make a comment before we get up out of here? Any comments?
We're getting up out of here.
That's it?
Well, you know what I mean. Before we go into tablet three, before we get up out of tablet two.
No. Not I.
That's some interesting shit. Okay, so make sure y'all refer back to the part where he show how each man started each set. The Shiites, the Sunnis, all that shit, y'all. That's some deep shit. Then, of course, it branched off to many other splinters later on.
Right.
This was just yesterday. You know what I'm saying? In the year 600 A.D., 600 A.D., this was just yesterday. That was just that's some yesterday shit. Chapter
right.
3, the story of Belial, or Belial. Cologne, lo, woe unto all who fall victim to the venom of this deception of Muslimat. Yet 22 years later, the real prophet Muhammad was born. His father, Abdullah, died at age 82 in the year 570 A.D., the same year of his birth. This left his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, also called Abu Muttalib. Abu Muttalib gave thanks to the Most High and named him into the charge of Halima, daughter of Abu Dahu'ab. The Meccans, who are often able, sent their children to be raised in the clean, pure air of the desert to be reared among the black tents, houses, camels of the Bedouin Arabs. The foster child grew healthy and strong, possessing great physical strength and a sound mind. In the year 575 A.D., Muhammad returned to the home of his grandfather and his own mother. A year later, Amina died, and the child's care was left in the hands of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, only. Within 2 years, the child was again visited with sorrow by the loss of his grandfather. Damn. Everybody died when Muhammad was born. That's crazy. Thereafter, Abu Talib, Muhammad's uncle, became his guardian. As he grew into a young man, Muhammad accompanied his uncle on a trading trip to Syria. The rabbis, Qasihin, and merchants recognized and acknowledged him as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the old prophets. Attempts were made to carry him off to foreign lands, but Abu Talib was always careful to protect him from harm. Muhammad gained a widely acclaimed reputation for his honesty and integrity. The people of Mecca called him Al-Amin, the faithful, and Al-Sadiq, the trustworthy. Muhammad was a short, broad-shouldered man with a dark, shiny face, full, thick beard, and a direct descendant of Abraham from his wife Hagar, the daughter of Imhotep, who begot Ishmael, who begot Kedar, who begot Galib, who begot Lua, who begot Amir, who begot Murrah, who begot Kalab, from the Danakil tribe, who begot Abid Manaph, who begot Hashem, whose clan's name was changed to Quraysh, who begot Abdul Muttalib, who begot Abdulat, Muhammad's father. The descendancy of Muhammad is one of nobility and power, whose ancestors built and maintained the Kaaba, which was passed down from father to son until his coming. Upkeep the sacred temple passed to the tribe of Kedar, Ishmael's second son, and then from tribe to tribe until it fell into the hands of the children of Kenan. After the ascension of Ishmael, his son, Nebat, took charge of the sacred temple. The sons of Ishmael and the sons of Nebat were living in Mecca at the time with their grandfather, Mudad, son of Amir, and their maternal uncles of Jerham. They had traveled from Yemen with the Keturah people, their cousins, and each had settled at opposite ends of the town. The clan of Jerhum, who were not the offspring of Ishmael, assumed full authority in Mecca and began to abuse their power. Their power weakened, and Manasseh, son of Kenana, along with Gushan of Kuzah, drove them out. Kuzah gained charge of the Kaaba and passed the charge of the temple from son to son to the last of them. Hulel, son of Salul, son of Kaab, Amir al-Kuzah, the Koresh at that time, were scattered among the family of Kenana. In the year 42 A.D., a descendant of Fir, the chief of the Koresh, by the name of Quase, Banu, Kalab, married Huba, the daughter of Hulal. When Hulal died, Quase assumed guardianship of the Kaaba over the protests of the Kuza, whom he eventually drove out of Mecca. Kuse was the first of the Bane Kab, son of Lawi, to assume rulership of Mecca. He united the Koresh and Kenana and Kuda and extended the boundaries in the decade between 450 A.D., willing his position to Abdul Dar, his eldest son. The descendants of Abdul Dar proved unable to assume full responsibility for execution of the office. In time, the duties of the Kaaba and the House of Consultation, and also the right to carry the standard of war. The clan of Abdul Manaf collected taxes and provided food and water for the pilgrims. Hashim, the second son of Abdul Manaf and the great-grandfather of Muhammad, assumed the family duties. On one of his business trips, he married Salma, daughter of Amir Banu Qadi, son of Al-Najjar of Yathrib, Medina. Salma was of the Najran tribe, who were Ansars of the city of Medina, the city of the Torah. In the year 497 A.D., she bore him a son, and they named him Sheba. Hashim became sick and died in the city of Gaza. His brother, Al-Mutalib, of Hashim's death, came to power and assumed the duties of the Kaaba. Al-Mutalib went to the city of Medina to get Sheba and bring him back to Mecca. Sheba was the next heir to the Quraysh tribe, the keepers of the Kaaba, through his father Hashim. When Al-Mutalib died, the people of Mecca called Sheba Abdul Mutalib, the slave of Mutalib. Abdul Mutalib inherited the duties of giving water and food to the pilgrims. It was he who redug the Zamzam well that was very sacred because it is the well of Ishmael, the son of Abraham. Hagar wandered through the desert carrying her small son Ishmael. When she could not find water, her child began to cry from thirst, and his mother, helpless to provide for him, she fell on her face and prayed to El Roy, the All-Seeing, who caused water to spring forth from the spot where the Zamzam well is located and is the only one in the Valley of Mecca within the sacred enclosure. Abdul Mutalib had made Tafulat for 10 sons. He vowed that if such an event occurred, he would sacrifice one of them in the name of El Eloh. Naturally, he did not want to sacrifice any of his sons, but he had to make good his promise. As he led Abdulat to the sacrifice, the Quraysh, who had been in assembly, chanced to see them. Upon finding out what Abdul Mutalib meant to do, they loudly protested. They advised him to seek the counsel of a sorceress in the Hejaz region of Arabia, who told him to offer blood money that was 10 camels among the Koresh in the place of his son. She told him to cast lots for the money and Abdullah, and it fell in his favor. Some months later, Abdul-Muttalib accompanied Abdullah to the house of Wab, son of Abdul-Hanef, son of Zubra, son of Kilab, son of Mura, son of Kab, son of Lahwe, son of Galib, son of Far, to claim Wab's daughter, Amina, as his wife. Her mother was Bara, daughter of Abdul Uzza, son of Uthman, son of Abdul Dar, son of Quese, son of Kilab, son of Murrah, son of Kab, son of Lue, son of Galib, son of Fir. This woman knew of the prophecy, which told of a prophet that would rise from among the people and born of the seed of Abdullah. The prophet was to come through the tribe of Judah. Judah was the only remaining tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel who was spared, namely Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Judah was to protect the seat of the prophethood of Israel until Shiloh came, who was Muhammad. All of the Israelites went astray, except a remnant of the tribe of Judah and the Midianites, who fell under the covenant of the Ishmaelites. A scepter would be passed from a descendant of the tribe of Judah by the name of Belial, at which time the responsibility for keeping the law passed from the Israelites to the Ishmaelites. Belial was born in the year 555 A.D. of the Danakil tribe and resided in land of Al-Habasha or Abyssinia. He was aware that Moses had told the children of Israel that a prophet would be born in Arabia and the scepter would be passed to him. Belial's mother was Hamama, and his father was Rabbah, son of Naphal, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Abdul Uzza, the keeper of the original Torah, books of Moses, who was the brother of Abid Manaph, whose son was Hashem, whose clan was changed to Koresh, who was the father of Abdul Muttalib, making Belial a relative of Muhammad. Rabbah was the possessor of the Majan, a staff of the prophets, the same staff that Abraham, Ishmael, and Moses carried. It was destined for Belial to pass the scepter from the tribes of Israel to the tribe of Ishmael. Belial's uncle was Raraka, who studied the Torah and New Testament until he thoroughly mastered it. Belial was from the portion of the tribe of Judah, which came to be known as the Danakil or the Dangolawa, from the original Baja tribes, of which the sons and daughters of Yahshua belong. The tribe of Judah became very powerful, highly respected, and entrusted with the scepter, the staff of leadership, and upholding the law of Moses, including the right of anointment until Muhammad's coming. Belial was the cousin of Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin. He became the first Mu'adin caller of the Muslims to worship in Medina, to worship after the Hijra, a flight from Mecca to Medina. In the year 622 A.H., he passed the scepter to Muhammad. The passing of the scepter was symbolic of the passing on of the covenant of prophethood from the Israelites to the Ishmaelites. Bilal was a Muslim who spread the truth across the sands of Arabia. He heralded the coming of Muhammad, just as John the Baptist heralded the coming of Yeshua. Bilal's union with Muhammad is a landmark in al-Islam. He was successful in his mission because he had great faith in Allah. Al-Islam was Bilal's way of life. He was not converted. He was born into the laws of Moses. For as a Judahite of royal bloodline, he was raised in Mosaic law. Thus, he was always a Muslim and adhered to al-Islam. He did not abstract, he did not subtract or add to this divine way of life. Bilal was of the tribe of Judah, out of the house of Jacob. It was his job to fulfill the prophecy of his forefather, Jacob. This was Bilal's mission, to pass the scepter of prophethood from the Israelites to Shiloh, who is Muhammad. This fulfillment brought about harmony in al-Islam. The tribes of Israel and Ishmael again became united through Bilal and Muhammad. From birth, Bilal was reared to complete his mission. Bilal was born with the light of truth in his black eyes. The illuminating light his eyes gave off puzzled everyone, even his parents. As Bilal grew, his father realized His father realized he was a special child and groomed him for the old prophecies of what they meant. His father saw to it that he was well learned in the laws of the scriptures. Bilal's father, Rabba, was the keeper of the scepter and also a learned man. He kept the scepter hidden in a secret place. When Bilal reached the age of 13 and had taken his bar mitzvah, he assumed religious duty and was considered an adult, after which Rabba gave Bilal the scepter destined to be passed on in fulfillment of the prophecy. When Bilal acted as Mu'adin, Umar heard him in his house and came to the apostle dragging his cloak on the ground and saying that he had seen precisely the same vision. When Imam Ali passed away, Bilal refused to become a follower of Muawiyah. He decided to settle in Syria, where he became a governor of Damascus. Bilal then left to Medina, where he met two grandsons of Muhammad. Together they asked Bilal to call the Adhan for the next daylight hour. He could not refuse their request. Before the following daylight hour, Bilal ascended the minaret and called the Adhan. Bilal would only call the Adhan for the followers of Amirul Mu'minin Ali. They were the only ones who kept the basic tenets of al-Islam. Bilal was now elderly, and his close companions aided him up the minaret. Then, in the midst of a great silence, burst once again the mighty voice of Bilal chanting the Adhan, as it was called in the days of Muhammad. So sweet was his voice that it touched the people's souls and brought tears to their eyes. Bilal passed away in the year 641 A.D., He was 90 years old at home in the comfort of his bed. Bilal remarried when he was in Syria. He had 5 sons and 3 daughters. His descendants are the blacks who inhabit Morocco today. His burial place was Aleppo, Damascus. His tomb became one of the principal landmarks for many centuries. After the passing of the scepter to Muhammad, Bilal, his 2 wives, and their sons migrated to Morocco, where they settled. This is where your black Moroccans descended from. Any questions? This is where your black Moroccans, your black Moors or Moroccans.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And freaking incredible. Wow. We're going to get into the four lights in a minute. But any questions, comments, or anybody want us to go back a little bit or how y'all want to do it? I'm going to open up the mic, though, to 860, 680.
Good evening,
can we get
John
a mic
Nicole.
Check?
Good night and evening.
Hey,
good
honey. How you doing,
I'm hearing about something about Morris. Is this where the creation of the existence of Morris came from?
No, honey, that's not where Moors came from. That's just where they ended up in Morocco. Because you notice that if you speak to a lot of American Negroes who are the Moors today, they'll tell you that Moors came from Morocco. Well, this is explaining how the Moors got in Morocco. So there you have it.
Oh, very good. Okay. I'm going to have to keep this tape right here to re-listen back so I got to understand.
Okay. We got to get back into the Let's Set the Record Straight book, though. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we'll be able to jumpstart that soon.
That's a great book for this because it makes all the distinctions and it shows you, you know, exactly the lineage of everyone.
Yeah, I'll be trying to follow that lineage. I thought first he was going to go with my question I did put in the chat because when he was talking about coming from the house of Jacob, and I was like, what is that related in relation to what is known as Hebrew Israelites? You know, because I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so why is it that Hebrew Israelites disdains or go so hard on saying like Islam is the evil side, like al-Islam is the evil side, when Bilal, who clearly
is this because they don't know they don't speak Hebrew, they don't understand that Abraham right
exactly.
The practice of Abraham's
mm-hmm.
religion is Dina Islam.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
They don't get all of that. They don't understand that. But, you know, but because the brothers split anyway, Ishmael Ishmael and Isaac, am I right? That's you, Vita, because you stop. Ishmael and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Is that who it is, right? The two brothers, right? Okay. Damn. Y'all don't help.
No, I don't.
Make a long story short, because they split and they had wives and all of that.
Right.
So what tend to happen is that the Hebrew Israelites are only paying attention to Jacob.
One side.
Absolutely.
Is that what it is? I see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
okay.
Actually, you know, so they became the Israelites and then the Ishmaelites. The
right.
Ishmaelites went on into what is considered the Quraysh tribe or the Danakil, which
mm-hmm.
gave way to Muhammad and everybody else and
right.
even the Moors.
They so way off. Okay, I see.
Yeah. And, well, into the tribe of Judah as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's no different than the other Moorish brothers who say they're from Moab. They're Moabites. There's no
okay.
difference from them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They're about the same because they listen to people from our past who said that's what they were,
mm-hmm.
sons of Canaan. From the Canaanite, from Ham, seed.
Okay.
Yeah. Not from Shem, seed, Shem.
Right.
Shem, seed, you know, yeah.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Okay, I'm clear.
But I say, now this is just for me, I say, you know, whatever you say you are, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, that's what you are. You know what I'm saying? If, you know what I'm saying? If you have a feeling that you are an Israelite, then so be it. Because it all still goes right on back to the Anunnakis anyway. It still goes back to the Anunnakis.
Okay.
You might as well just trace that all the way back to Cain, who is still Adam's son.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So that's just some shit they just, like, refuse to acknowledge and block out, clearly.
Well, that's only because, you know, they're not ambidextrous. So they only using one side.
Okay.
They're only using one side. No,
I like
disrespect
that analogy
to the Israelites that's listening or the Moors.
Okay.
But
right,
they only using one side of their body.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You.
Something that we tend to do because sometimes I would say I'm from the Hudson, you know, depending
right
on because I like my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
But then my father's side got it too. So we tend to be, you know what I'm saying, one-sided.
Right. One-sided, right.
In the bloodline a lot, and we'll go there. We'll do our choosing that way.
Yes, I agree.
So it's just how they see it. It's what was told to them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if you was told only good things about the side of your mother and so-called bad things about the side of your father, you would choose your mother's side. But ignorantly believing that is the only side when Abraham had two sons anyway. So at the end of the day, we're all descendants of Abraham, not just his son Ishmael or his son Isaac. It doesn't matter. We all go back to Abraham. We all go back to Moses, to Noah, all the way back to Adam. So it still don't matter. It's just that they want to choose that. And they have every right to choose what side, but it still makes them one-sided and not ambidextrous.
Okay. Cool. I'm getting clear on this. I can see a little better. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I don't argue with them, because I overstand, because, you know what I'm saying, it's just like a person trying to convince me my daddy's side is as righteous as my mother. I'm going to be stuck in my ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm
going
to be more stuck in my ways to argue. So they don't need that. Just let them have that.
Right. Okay.
And then you remember the show where Babylon, the Hebrew Israelite brother, and went on with the whole stealing the birthright, Jacob, and all of that. You know what I'm saying? And they couldn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I recall.
How was that?
Yeah, you was there, you know, and mother dressed them up, tricked them. Daddy was blind, put fur on his ass, Esau and Jacob. But these are the stories, though, so it's quite interesting how one could, you know, it's just quite interesting how the birth, it literally showed that the birthright was stolen. The mother tricked him, and he gave the birthright to the other son, thinking it was his other son. And so the brothers today believe that the birthright was rightfully given to the son that was, you know, dressed up like the other son. That's their mentality. So, but let them have that. Don't matter. Shit. That just shows you that they did a good job on religion, because it breeds ignorance for real. Religion breeds ignorance, because you got to be ignorant if you can't read and see that story for really what it is, and you ignore that part that, you know, he was tricked into giving the birthright to his other son. You got to be fucking ignorant, but religion does that. And the same way with Al-Islam or Islam, when we talk to the Muslims in regards to the story that the information that we just read.
Right, because I'm like,
you know what
I'm saying? I can pick up on
that. We tell them where
Hadith
comes from. We tell them about the prophet Musalat, the fake Muhammad, and the whole situation, and they just ignorant. Religion breeds ignorance.
I see, because I'm like, if I can pick up on that just by reading, like, what's the day problem? But no, I see.
Well, their problem is they're submerged in religion. You don't have a problem because you're studying.
Right.
You're reading it with no conviction. You're not trying to be convicted into it. That's the difference. That's what makes it easier for you to read any book. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's like a white person reading The Destruction of the Black Man, or The Destruction of the Black Civilization. They're not going to be convicted in it. They're not going to go around start hating themselves or hating other white people. They'll just be like, interesting. Interesting. Okay, I see.
Right.
But they're not finna put on a. They're not finna get an afro and a dashiki and put it on after reading that shit.
Right. This is good information.
Okay. Yeah, that's the difference that, you know. It's no, and I hate to use you as another example, though, Neff, but it's no difference than, if I may, mm-hmm. at one time, not you, the new you, but the old you. It's no difference from you, the person that's in the religion of basketball or sports,
mm-hmm.
versus
right.
the owners or the commissioner. So you'll
okay.
be deep rooted in it and believe
right.
everything is real, yeah, right there. But if, in fact, if I was there when the owners got together or the commissioners got together and planned a plot to form association, you and I would battle.
Right. I see exactly
yeah.
what you're saying.
It'll mm-hmm. be an argument.
Right.
Because you're in it so hard that you can't step out of it and see how it was all.
Right.
Yeah.
No objectivity, no nothing. I see. I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it makes it difficult, and that's why religion also breeds separation, because
right.
it makes it difficult
right.
for me and you of the same tree to have an intelligent conversation about mm. something that has nothing to do with us.
Right.
As if we was there when they plotted this plot called
exactly.
Islam, Judaism, and Christianity.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it, yeah, it breeds separation amongst our own kind as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got those that are teachers or read and to study it, and those
yeah.
that believe and become that shit the
right.
Bible says. Or, you know
right.
what I'm saying? You know, got to find something to belong to. So thus, you know, you go to college,
mm-hmm.
you become a doctor of divinity, you get a PhD in the three monotheistic religions.
Right.
And you
that's
understand
right.
it as history. You
mm-hmm.
understand it as geography. You
yeah.
overstand it as science as well.
Right.
But then people on the outside goes to church and believe that it is the bedrock of their foundation.
Mm.
The people that goes to the mosque believe that it is the bedrock of their foundation.
Their
because
whole being.
You have a school.
Mm.
If there's
right.
a school where you have to learn Islam to be an imam, you have to study Islam, yeah, but these people go to the mosque and just become followers or devout followers or believers of Islam and the Quran.
Right.
Don't know the language. I don't know what the fuck shit. Don't even care about the history. Like a Christian, when we say Jesus was black, black Christians say, I don't give a fuck what color he was.
Right.
You know, because they don't want to know the truth. They just want to believe that whatever it is, it's going to save their ass. God gonna come back for them. The same with the ignorant spell of religion with the Hebrew Israelites,
mm-hmm.
the black Muslims, and the black Christians. It's the same thing, and it's a sad state.
It is.
Because they don't want to teach it, they want to preach it. Because once they start to teach it, they'll learn, wait a minute, something's wrong here. This doesn't make sense. They'll start to actually use comprehension.
Right, logic.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
See, when people say
right.
read the Bible, the person that they're telling to read the Bible is reading the Bible to believe in it, not to actually comprehend it. Then
right.
they, and the person says, well, I'm having problems because I can't really understand this goddamn book. Then the other person says, well, ask God for comprehension. So now you got to go ask God to give you comprehension of it,
mm.
which means that now you feel that you have, it's subliminal suggestion, so now you just going to read it and just believe that God made everything clear, and you still not clear, because after they close that book and meet somebody like us, and we tell them about Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where Cain knew his wife, I'm sorry, not 4:26,
mm.
you you know what the fuck I'm talking about, though. Where Cain went to the land of Nod and knew his wife, and we like, where did he get his wife from? It was
right.
only Adam and Eve and
three
Cain
people
there.
On that
and they
planet.
Still didn't, they
right.
still didn't get it. So God
right.
could have gave you comprehension after they told you to ask God if you could ask God for clarity.
Right.
So you would have already had clarity once you asked God, but you still didn't know that. Neither did you know that the word Genesis in Hebrew is bara, which means replenish and not creation. Mm. So if God, if you if they told you that God say ask for comprehension and you ask God for comprehension to understand the Bible, you still don't even know the language. So you know that's a lie, but so people read and read and read, and they just read it just to feel like they're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not getting right knowledge. They're not getting right reasoning. They're not getting a right understanding of these scriptures. So it still puts them in a religious spellbinded mentality because, like I said, if God, if you ask God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you shall have it. And if you don't, in a particular area, once you ask and somebody comes along and has to explain it to you, and you argue that, you know what I'm saying, or ignore that, it simply means that God didn't give you knowledge, wisdom, or understanding.
Right.
Because you would know once God give it to you, you would be able to know. So it makes it difficult to have conversation with people that are blindly into the spell of religion. It is it really separates us hard because we
right.
could actually start to teach our people and get them up out of that shit, and they can still have the Bible, they can still have the Quran, they can still have the New Testament, they can still have the Torah, they can still have all of that, but at least you'll know exactly what it says. Because I still have the Quran, I still
right.
have the Bible, and I still have the Torah.
Right.
So, and I know exactly what it says. I'm not going to throw it away. I know now exactly what it says. It's like it's still gold to me.
Right, and what to get
it was,
from it
yeah,
and receive
exactly.
from it.
Exactly. The only
right.
difference is they had me thinking it was 24 karat when it was 18 karat.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right, right.
So now I know it's just 18 karats.
Right.
Or 6 karats.
Like, there's some falsehood, just some... A little bit of falsehood in there. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was messed up is that everybody has their versions, and you can't even explain that to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if King James had a version, and he does,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
prior to that there was versions, and prior after King James there are versions. So you know you and I don't need to be arguing over anybody's versions. You should know that. We should actually walk through these versions together and find what we need in it
mm-hmm.
or debunk it.
Right.
Expose
it
this part as a lie and go back, have our language open, our Greek, our Hebrew, and translate that shit properly to what it's supposed to be. That's what we should be doing. We should never be arguing over the book, knowing damn well it's somebody's version. We shouldn't be believing in somebody's version.
Right.
But that's the nature of black people.
Mm-hmm.
They just swear it is the absolute fucking truth as if they was there when it was written.
Right.
And that's what makes it hard for us to get along. You know, then you're called a heathen or a devil or a jinn or a
mm-hmm.
shaitan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we call them motherfuckers a dumb motherfucker. You just fucking stupid.
Blind.
You know,
blind.
You're just fucking ignorant.
Follower.
You're blind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then the name's called and now we don't talk to auntie such and such or brother this or sister that in our family.
Right.
Because it's, yeah, religion breeds ignorance and separation, separatism. Nobody just don't want to study some shit.
Right.
Study it, you know, use comprehension. That's why I do it with the El's Holy Tablet, goddammit. Because we're talking about my soul here.
That's right.
Ain't that right?
Of course.
That's right,
King. That's right.
You had the guy protect that soul. And a lot of people say, I want to protect my soul. No, you not. Fine, right now. It's, look what you're reading. You'll protect your soul. So then,
that's right.
Bullshit.
That's right. Yep. And what's interesting, though, is that everything that has been written in the El's Holy Tablet is already made available via the Internet from other news articles and when Wikipedia and all these other, you know what I'm saying, scholars now that's coming out repeating the same shit in the fucking Holy Tablet. That's from, that's in Egypt, that's in Pakistan, that's all over this motherfucker, that's everywhere.
Very
so,
true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which gives, you know, of course, black people got to hear it, like black Muslims, because you remember the spell of does religion breed ignorance? The black Muslims got to listen to everything that a fucking Pakistani say anyway.
Right. Got to get it from somebody else instead of your own. I agree.
Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes remaining before we go into overtime, so don't forget to grab the link, the flash chat, at the top of the browser for everybody in the BTR chat room. Just in case they kick you out, you can come right back on in. Y'all want to get into Halloween? Angels and Prophets Day is what we call it.
Let's do it.
Tablet 4, the four lights. We'll get into it. Let's go. Lo, and these four lights were Gabriel Zodok, son of Raziel and Zamael, Raphael Zodok, son of Wakabiel, and Sikrael, Uriel Zodok, son of Azrael and Rafikiel, and Israel Zodok, son of Anu and Id. Now, y'all know, Neff, you know who Israel is, right?
Angel.
Yeah, like the angel of death, right?
Yeah, Inki.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's Inki, son of Anu and Id. Id is the reptilian daughter.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, that Anu had to marry. The
correct.
Rest of, yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Right. Okay. These are your A's. Listen closely now. But these are the four lights. These are your A's. Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Israel. These are your A's. Each is one of the branches of the tree. Now we back on the tree. Remember the tree he started talking about?
Yeah, the
in tablet
tree,
one,
yes.
We're back in the tree. The Lot tree, also called the green tree. May Anu be pleased with them. Then my light said, glory be to Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, for another 14,000 years. Then Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created the light of all the other newsbearers from the light of Adam, or Zakar, whose real name is Kadmon, son of Atum and Lilith, and the light is the life in human beings. We clear? Peace and blessings of Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, be upon him. Then the peacock looked at the light, which Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, created, and from it he created their ruach, souls. That is, he created the souls of the prophets, newsbearers, from your sweat, Adam, or Zakar. My friend, peace be upon you. And he is to create the souls of the community of these newsbearers from the sweat of the newsbearers. We're going to take a brief pause and go straight into Prophets and Angels Day.
Quick question.
And this is how the event of the prophet and angels should be commemorated.
Quick question.
This is also like your Halloween. So on October 31st, you know, normally Nubian people actually celebrate or commemorate Prophets and Angels Day on October 31st. And here's how that day is commemorated.
Don, before you go, Don.
Yes,
quick
sir.
Question. Verse 5, when you said, these are your A's. So these are the names we should remember then.
I don't know about the we should remember. Y'all know you'll never forget Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, and Israel, but these are your A's.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Overstood.
And I mean, even though we're talking about, okay, what made you ask that question? Let me just ask you that.
But you Because you capitalized, you said it. You said, these are your aids.
Mm-hmm. Because I did that?
Yeah. It stood out.
I did what?
You said that. You didn't say it once. You said it twice. You repeated
yes,
it.
Yes, these are your aids.
Correct.
Absolutely. Okay.
I'm agreeing with you, and I'm saying that we should remember these names.
They're the ones that aid us, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Now, Uriel, I'd have a brief, small meeting with Uriel. This was a long time ago. I had to have been like 14. I met Uriel. And I met Raphael when I was 25 or 6 years old when they came to test me. Raphael came to test me. I think I was 26, 2000 and, I think it was 2001 or 2002 when the angel Raphael came to me at a gas station about 5 a.m., 6 in the morning. But I ain't saying no Gabrielle or Israel, and who the fuck wants to see Israel?
Not until it's your time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But he will aid regardless, even though he's, you know, the angel of death or taking the souls
right.
and shit. But, I mean, who is Inky? He's the angel of the earth.
Right. Just for clarification, when we say aid, that these are your aids, I mean, in what manner in which they aid? I mean, because if you... There's so many ways you can aid someone.
Exactly. In those ways. That's how many
In all
ways.
Those ways. Okay.
Absolutely. If these are your aids.
These are the people you call upon.
Okay.
That's interesting.
But
and
very.
Then, yeah. All right, let's get into the Prophets and Angels Day. On October 31st, we will celebrate Prophets and Angels Day. It is most commonly known as Halloween. It is a day of positiveness, and goodness. The homes are gaily decorated with pictures of the prophets, Elohim, apostles, and sacred women of the scriptures. The shadow hour before October 30th, is called shadow hour of prayer. After the evening worship, the congregation remains in the house of the sustainer and say, I seek refuge in Allah from Satan, the cursed one, facing the north, south, east, and west. Then all read from the Book of Light. You can get the Book of Light at All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia. Phone number is 1-706-468-2319. I seek refuge in Allah from Satan, the cursed one, facing north, south, east, and west. Then all read from the Book of Light, asking the Elohim to protect them from evil. The congregation chants Surah El-Nas, chapter of the people, and Surah El-Falak, chapter of the breaking forth of the day, 19 times each. Then chant the 99 plus 1 names of El-Eloh. We show forgiveness for the archangel Israel, the angel of death, known as the Elohim Anunnaki Inki, for his job to take our souls to El Eloh. We are not afraid of him. We love him, as we do all of the angelic beings sent from El Eloh. Passages of enlightenment from the Book of Light are also read. On the following day, the children are dressed in beautiful, colorful costumes depicting prophets, apostles, angelic beings, El Mahdi, Yahshua, Ali, and the Reformer, Dr. Malachi Z. York, not Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Incredible Hulk, Cinderella, none of them motherfuckers. The girls are...
Wait a minute. I'm like,
that's what it say. It say that right there. Y'all didn't see that.
Wait.
Not Iron Man.
Wait a minute.
Not Jason, not motherfucking Michael Myers and shit. Not Dora the Explorer, motherfuckers. Not Nicki Minaj. That's seen bitches dress up in Nicki Minaj and shit last Halloween.
How'd that go?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, Neff. You said, wait a minute. What you want me to do?
No. I knew you was adding on. I'm like, okay, hold on. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We got 2 minutes, so hurry up and call in, Skype in, and hear the next hour of the L's Holy Tablet Show, or go to the after party if you can. And also take the flash chat from the address bar at the top for those in the chat room. All right, let's finish what the girls dress like. The girls are dressed like the sacred women of the scriptures, Eve, Nama, Sarah, Hagar, Mary, and Fatima. Costumes depicting great men and women of Egypt, Nubia, such as the wise Imhotep, Ankh-Aten, Nefertiti, and Cleopatra are also worn. The costumes have colorful crowns, swords, jewelry, beads, chiffons, halos, and wings. The children go outside and first enjoy playing amongst themselves and reenact events which that particular prophet or angel being might have done. I'm sorry, prophet or angelic being might have done. Later, the children parade together from home to home to receive candy and say bashish, which means gratuity. Once this is done, the children will attend the party of paradise at the house of the sustainer. The house of the sustainer has been decorated to resemble paradise with white clouds, such as those which descend with the angelic beings from heaven, doves which came to Yahshua, and a tree of knowledge of agreeable and disagreeable, which is located in the middle of the garden. The children will listen to the song Janna from the Thought Nubian tape series called Path of the Nuwabians. The children are served the four drinks of paradise, which are milk, honey, water, and wine. Those who do not drink all four cannot stay at the party. As all four are comparable to paradise as a land of milk and honey, and fresh pies such as pumpkin pie will be served. Later on, they enter paradise. That is how Prophets and Angels Day, October 31st, is completed. You like that now? Those it said those motherfuckers,
yeah,
they can't drink.
Opposite
they can't drink.
Of
all
shit.
Four got to go. That's
yeah, milk,
shit.
Honey, wine, water.
I know one thing. I can drink milk, water, and wine, but goddamn honey, I'll be kicked out the party.
I like honey. I can definitely do honey.
I mean, I like it
milk?
In tea. I like
I have
that
a
shit
problem
in
with
tea,
the milk.
But ain't no way in hell I can drink straight honey.
That's good. That's good.
I know it. So is milk, shit. And water and wine.
That's right.
Okay, so we all be fucked. We'll fuck around and get kicked out of the house of the sustainer then, shit.
I ain't just get a sip. Just give me a sip.
I never drank straight honey raw. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's continue. We into overtime now, everybody. So if your call drops or whatever, wish y'all a happy Mother's Day. Y'all be safe. And you know we do it next week every time. So let's keep it pushing. And happy Mother's Day. That's it already? Yeah, I did. Okay. Tablet 5, those of Amun-Ra.
Amun-Ra.
Lo, and the souls of Amun, faithful of the community of Akhmet, son of Abdalat and Amina, are to be created from the sweat of Akhmet, who is called Muhammad, or better, Mustafa Muhammad Al-Amin, son of Abdalat. Peace be upon him, so they will say. Nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it. Then El-Elo created 3 candlesticks of green carnelian, and its outside is seen from its inside. Then he created my form as Malachi, son of El-Elo, with the healing power, giving me 720 degrees in how I will look in the physical world. So he placed in my head this candlestick that I may look inside and outside of all things, tell it. And I stood in it as one standing in worship. Then 24 Anunnaki of the Seraphat did Tawaf. circumference around the light of me, Malachi, son of Anu. They said, glory be to Anu, and nothing would exist if Anu, Elyun, Elyun, El, didn't create it. Anu is the most supreme for another 7,000 years. When the end of one existence is the beginning of another. Doom. That's strong there. Did you hear that? For another 7,000 years?
Absolutely.
I was trying to figure out how long does that Anu stays Anu. So that means it's 7,000
years.
I get it.
Years. Right.
Yeah, unless he must have had, he must have got reelected the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it must be 7,000 years, that Anu. The one, every Anu is appointed caretaker over all, El Cologne. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it may, okay, I was wondering, when does the seat change? How many years or thousands or whatever years? So I needed to hear that. Newbie, you're answering me saying, mm-hmm, like you already knew.
So you're like, mm-hmm, you.
Like you knew that shit already. Nigga, you ain't know that shit.
Oh, man, no.
Yeah, I've been wondering, like, how long does that Anu take the seat? You know what I'm saying? That position. I always wanted to know that shit. Damn, you want to know something? Put it in a goddamn book.
Book. Always.
You
want
to find this in a book. That's all I wanted to know, too, because, damn, like, when is the next election? When is the next appointment? Which one of these motherfuckers is the next Anu? Man, you got another 6,342 years, y'all, to find out.
For re-election.
Yeah, 7,000. Incredible. It would be 7, too. That's completion. Tablet 6, Zodok, Melchizedek. Lo, then El Elo, the supreme being, commanded all the souls of creation to look at my form, and I incarnated in the form of Malachi Zodok. And then I incarnated in the form of El Quipt. Then I incarnated in the form of Yanun. I am from Risk, the eighth planet in the 19th galaxy, Ilyun, far outside of this one. I am sent here to give you the true guidance out of your past that has become your future and has returned to warn you. I came from the planet Risk by way of Nibiru. You call it Janat. Our solar system is within the 19th galaxy on this side of the first warp called the black hole. We have a trisolar system of 19 planets and 38 moons. Some planets have moons while others don't. I come from the eighth planet of the 19th galaxy called Ilyun. The planet Risk is a great planet that gives a great deal of energy, originally having two moons, but now one. From the planet Nibiru, we can see the sun. We can see three suns and one moon. From the planet Nibiru, we can see three suns and one moon. Yanun, Yanin, also spelled Yanun. And the beings of my planet live and look much like you humans or human beings of Earth. We are called Riskian, and or Anunnaki, or just the Allahum. I am one of the teachers of the 19th galaxy. I try to raise your consciousness so that when the ship returns in the lunar login of the 12th point in August in the year 2003 of the Gregorian calendar, when the gate or great vortex will reopen and this planet called Earth position itself in the location of revolution of the planets, and they all are in a line as in the lunar login of the 5th point in May in the year 2000 of the Gregorian calendar, you will be ready. You have psychic powers. You must use them. I was bred for you. I come from a star fleet of people that are scientists and astrologers. They are the ones who keep the Akashic records. They keep the logs of everything that takes place in all the planets. The planet that I came from, the planet that I came from, each being lives to be 1,000 years old. as Etherians or etheric beings. As Etherians or etheric beings in our perfected state, we live trillions of years. In our perfected state, we live trillions of years. A time system beyond your comprehension at this point. When in our incarnated state, we each live 120 years or less. Your atmosphere, created by your sun, a dying star, causes us true melanites to age and die much more rapidly because it alters our chemistry and reduces our stay. So to stay there for 1,000 years would be like staying here for a day. In our original state, we live 1,000 Earth years. We stay and then move on to another galaxy. A whole star fleet came to Earth in ether form. The beings on my planet are human beings, very similar to Earth people, except the supreme beings, the elite or etheric Etherians, incarnated into a form. Their height is 7 feet tall. The shape of their eyes are different. They have large black pupils with the white of their eyes, and they also have other glands and organs transplanted into them. The color of their skin is green as the greenest of olives, making them able to adjust to any planet's atmosphere except those with dying stars. They are called the Elos, and as a group, they are referred to as Anunnaki. They have 9 ether. When traveling, we can incarnate to look like any beings or creatures we choose, as long as we do some brain adjustments and organ adjustments, then become as Illa Mustajesita or Elo incarnated into flesh, Illa. It is when a person is born that an Illa Mustajesit incarnates into them. As the person grows and matures, the spirit within him dominates his body unless the person suppresses it. Wow. This is strong right here. Although we act and move as any other human, our eyes embody complete mastery of the transcending of the physical world. One of the reasons we come to Earth is because man begins to lean towards corruption, and the negative karma we call quadri or aura of the Earth begins to dominate. This negativeness in the total living organism, which we are all a part of, different densities, yet in a quantum state, affect us all. Whew, Lord, have mercy. Therefore, when you think of angels, it is us who you think of, and your call is being answered. Your prayers are heard, so we descend to Earth and have become flesh and body like man in order to help man. The disagreeable Hindu avatar that came down were the 200 fallen angels, and the Hindus are descendants of them. Those beings who arrived thousands of years ago were hermaphrodites. The Hindus, in their incarnation of disagreeable beings, are called avatara, looking human in all respect, yet with slight variations. And each being only lives for 20 and 100 years in physical form. You would not be able to tell the difference between any other human being on Earth. In the etheric form of light, you call us spirits, and the supreme beings you refer to as holy spirits or the Holy Ghost, because we know the formula of the chemistry of the human body. We know how to alter molecules and dematerialize through magnetism and the tetrahedron science matters at will. By using magnetism, we use the parts of the human brain that are not being used, and lived in parts of their cells that they don't use as of yet. We can incarnate into any body we want at any given time. This is how it was done on behalf of myself, he said. And then I saw a little dark copper-toned baby, and I went into his body, and he became the Son of Justice, also called Rabboni Yahshua Bar El Hadi. I have visited the planet Earth 3 times. Let me explain where the word Earth comes from, because this planet has had many names depending on who is speaking about it and from which galaxy. One of the oldest names used when referring to Earth is Tiamat. Later, it was called Ki or Qui. And finally, it was called Eridu, a home away from home by a race of supreme beings called Anunnaki, Alohum, who came here to Earth originally for the sole purpose of mining. Over 7,050 years ago, their crafts called ziggurats, consisting of 7 stages sloping upward into a pyramid form 300 feet in height, or the crown-shaped shams, and they crashed down into the Arabian Sea on the southern tip of what is called Iraq today and named that spot Eridu. There to eliminate the birth of any supreme being by an injection with a hypodermic needle into the base of the brain with a drug called PCP. Newbie?
Phenylcyclohexylpeperidine.
Thank you. PCP, called angel dust, that which could reduce an angelic being to mere dust, injected into the hippocampus area in order to deaden the barytheric gland. In order to prevent this child, must be born 12 o'clock midnight, in the midst of a lightning storm as a shield. And this is why his mother and the relative cited the presence of the great star on that Tuesday, 12 midnight, in the lunar login of the 26th point in June, when the planet called Earth positioned itself in the location of the revolution of Earth, year 1945 of the Gregorian calendar. The weather filled with overcast of clouds and rain, a perfect cover for a mission. We did not reinsert it into the hippocampus part of the brain this time, but in the lower part of the chin, referred to as the submental area, meaning the sub or lower, and mental, that which reacts with the mind. There was no need for the replacement of an appendix, because the appendix was there and would not be removed, nor his tonsils, as in the case of others. We would have to replace their barytheric gland in the submental area, the lower part of the chin. If the tonsils are removed to replace them, and if their appendix is removed, replace them and reactivate them. Unlike the case of this child, then the child was right to make way for my entrance. I visited again after the lunar login of the 6th point in August, when the planet Earth positioned itself in the location of the revolution of Earth year 1945 of the Gregorian calendar, when you bombed Hiroshima, Japan, and in the lunar login of the 9th point in August, when the planet called Earth positioned itself in the location of the revolution of Earth, year 1945, of the Gregorian calendar, when you bombed Nagasaki, Japan. All that was in 45. It was really doing some damage. It became apparent that the beings of Earth were on the path of self-destruction, playing with atomic power. So I arrived in the lunar login of the 17th point in September of that same year to a galactical meeting held on Earth. And on the child's 25th birthday, which was the lunar login of the 26th point in June, when the planet called Earth positioned itself in the location of the revolution of Earth, year 1970 of the Gregorian calendar, when I made direct contact and implanted my total self in his being. And this special day is commemorated by a great event for our Savior. On this day, Lectures of all kinds are being presented, and excellent speakers are brought forth to lecture on the different topics in different languages as ambassadors in great knowledge that our Supreme Grand Master has embarked upon us. People from all over gather to this big event to celebrate the birth of our Master Teacher, for this is a great day for all Nuwabians of all races. Heard that shit, newbie? For all Nuwabians of all races.
Absolutely.
Sport tournaments.
In 1945 was when all that shit happened, and that's when Malachi came to Earth. That same year.
He was already here. They just altered his DNA. They took possession of his body. You'll find, let me go back, because they can incarnate or take position. He said they can get right in your head and start to change in your brain. That's how small these etheric light beings can, they can take possession of a person at any given time. So they took
anyone, that is, anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just so happened to be, they tweaked him in the womb a few times, and by the time he was 25, they took sole possession of his body and used him. That's why he got so much fucking knowledge. That's why this shit is crazy on any and every fucking thing. He got knowledge on feet, on toes. Ask him that question, he'll fucking tell you all about it. It just is downloaded through him. It's given to him. Know everything.
76 trillion years of information.
Because they speak through him. Different beings speak to him. They use him. Use his body. You know, no different than watching Ghost or watching all those other TV shows where, you know, spirits speak through people. It's the same thing. And that shit is real, too. Where certain spirits can take possession and speak to their loved ones. All that shit is real.
Absolutely.
And he said, what did he say? Y'all call them spirits or Holy Ghost or, you know what I'm saying? But we're nothing more than Aetherians, beings of light that can travel and jump into your body and you'll never know it. We took possession. Same way the beings of the Illuminati or the Amalite can do the same thing, King. And they take possession of people's bodies. Like I say, like, that's why I always ask a person, what possessed you to do that? Because that shit you did didn't make no fucking sense. They take possession. They all take possessions of human bodies to do something, good or bad, green light or red light. They all have the power to take possessions, etheric beings. Yeah, this is when you get away from walking and people who get possessed of the Amalite, because you don't know what the fuck they about to do to you or do to themselves. Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's push on.
Okay. All right. So, of course, for this great day for all Nuwabians of all races, sport tournaments, all kinds of foods, from around the world in different types of cultural music. It is a great family gathering, and we thank the Most High for allowing us to be blessed with such a great teacher. Different stories are being told about his birth and the birth of the tabernacle and the many metamorphoses of it. People come dressed in their native clothing as well as Egyptian, African, Islamic, Sumerian garments, and different events and performances are taking place. We have a carnival and a parade. We have a procession of Osiris, which is led by our master teacher and followed by the brotherhood of Set, as well as a procession of Aset, Isis, led by the three high priestesses of the order of the sisters of Aset. And our sacred order, the ancient and mystic order of Melchizedek, have a sacred ceremony as well. We celebrate a drum ceremony event where the men beat drums all night from 12 p.m. until the next morning to make the new year in our calendar and much, much more. Verse 94. This is the best. Let me see how much time we got. We about to end it, y'all. Pay attention to this because now we about to travel back to about 1970. Y'all ready?
Let's go, let's go.
Throughout the 400-year enslavement of the Nubians in the Western Hemisphere and even throughout Europe, there was a hope, a longing for a savior, one who could answer the many questions, the first being, why are we rejected and hated by all? What have we done to deserve the persecution and the murder, the derogatory terms? Why were we allowed to be hung, beaten, experimented on, and treated like animals? Why did nobody in the free world try to come to our aid? We were deprived of a proper education and then called dumb and stupid. We were deprived of proper work and were not allowed to establish our own income, and we were called lazy and shiftless. We were introduced to narcotics and alcohol, and then we were called drug addicts. We were left with no means of support, cornered into alternative methods of survival. Then we were called criminals. Some of us were cast into prison. There again, we were abused. We were not given fair trials, couldn't afford proper representation. We were abducted into the armed forces or volunteered to defend the country in which we found ourselves dead on the battlefield or came home and were called nigger. Through all of this, the only thing that remained for us was hope. With that hope, we were poisoned by superstitions, mythology, and just plain ignorance. Never being taught who we really were and where we came from, we were told to become Christians. It's our only means of salvation. They hung a cross. They hung a Caucasian on a cross in front of us and told us this was God's son. In our minds, that meant that his father was also a Caucasian. His mother Mary, called the Blessed Mother Mary, was also a Caucasian. And all the angels were Caucasians. And if God was a Caucasian, and Caucasians pride themselves on being called white, and bad is black, it's opposite, thus the devil is black. We had to endure this harsh treatment. We had to endure the many names we were being called, and was expected always to keep a smile. Finally, in the 20th century, things began to happen. Men were being born who had small pieces to a big puzzle. None of them knew that they were a part of a master plan where all the pieces of the puzzle would fit in, starting from 1970. Before the date, Nubians found themselves in all kinds of organizations. Some were docile, like many of your Christians and Orthodox Muslim groups, Prince Hall Masons, and even Black Shriners and the Elks. Others were militant, like the Black Panthers, the Young Lords, the African Pioneer Movement, the Black Muslims, the Five Percenters, the Hebrew Israelites, and the Black Nationalists. With these groups came many would-be messiahs, prophets, Mahdis, saviors, leaders, and even some called themselves God and Allah. We had all kinds of ministers, pastors, reverends, rabbis, Cohens, imams, shaks. Yet our condition stayed the same. We may appear to be doing good under a specific leader, but in all cases, all of the above were depending on others for guidance and borrowing from each other. Either they used the Caucasian King James Version of the Bible, or a Jewish translation of the Holy Scripture, or a pale Arab's translation of the Quran, or a Zionist Jew named Levi H. Dowling's book, The Aquarian Gospel, and changed it into a Quran for the Moorish temple. Others depended on what they called pale Arab interpretation of Islam, or from lessons what W.F. Muhammad wrote, and from it a Nubian gave birth to a splinter group called Five Percenters, and he declared himself Allah using the pale Arab lessons. This was Clarence 13X. All in all, Nubians fell deeper and deeper into ignorance. It was a case of the blind leading the blind, but all knew that a savior was coming. Some thought it was Marcus Garvey who wanted to go back to Africa. Others thought Noble Jew Ali. Others thought it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad or his teacher W.F. Muhammad. Others thought it was Clarence 13X. Even others thought it was Dr. Martin Luther King. Some said it was H. Rapp Brown or Stokely Carmichael from the 60s or Eldridge Cleaver or Bobby Seale. Some thought it was Ron Karinga or Leroy Jones. Some think it's Worf D. Muhammad, son of Elijah Muhammad. Others think it's Minister Louis Farrakhan or Yahweh Ben Yahweh or Ben Ami Carter. And even others think it is themselves. And the list of saviors goes on. From the early 1900s all the way up to 1975 A.D., when something new happened, a teaching unlike before started spreading. It started with the awareness of our culture and identity, an awakening all around the globe with the only barriers of language and religion. There was a wave of riots everywhere, which only added to the tension, and the formation of organizations like the Black Panthers, founded by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, for a never-ending struggle for the liberation of Nuwabians. This made way for the first part of our liberation by way of Nuwapu. What I have to give will liberate the mind of the Nuwabian nation, and the physical will follow. Because once there is mental unity, there is physical unity. Because where the mind goes, the body will follow. This, too, was part of our preparation for my appearance. Nope. This, too, was part of the preparation for my appearance. Others like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Martin Luther King were concerned with the upliftment and sense of pride in Nuwabian people and the beginnings of a doctrine. Not knowing who we were or where we came from and where we are going, the time was now. Right truth has come to put all false things under your feet. With a doctrine to give you the power to test all who stand in front of you and dares to claim they have the truth. I am here amongst you to take you by the hand and lead you to that which was promised you. You should feel a comfort being with me. I truly know the way out of the hell you Nuwabians have been in for 6,000 years, how to break the spell. For all those who will listen, it is through right knowledge, right wisdom, and right understanding, which is the science of Nuwapu. Don't turn away from your last chance of salvation. This is the book that will solve the problem book. I say, test me, and you will see who I really am. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Simply ask. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Merely ask, for I am your long-awaited Savior. It is my voice that roars with the sound of many waters, saying these things. I say unto you who are faithful and true, I am the Melchizedek of all the holy prophets. Allah has sent me to give good tidings, to prepare the way for HaMashiach, or El Masu, the real Messiah, and to show you things which must shortly come to pass. And to show you things which must shortly come to pass, and prepare a way straight for him. For I have declared in my very own scroll, the scroll of Malachi. In this scroll, I am known as Elohim Mikael, also known as Marduk, Amar-Utu, Azag, and Ananubi Ruakata, the grandson of the Most High El, the Heavenly One, Anu, who is the warring Elohim, whose name Mikael means who dares be like El, a repeated incarnation from shell to shell, who fights on behalf of Anu Elun Elunel, the Most High. Behold, I have been sent to prophesy before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. Before me was Elijah, Elijah is the reverse of Yahuwah Elohim El Elo. The Elohim Yahuwah is the manifestation in the form of perfection. He is the Elijah for this day and time. For there were many, but because you were not ready for the many, such as Elijah the Tishbite of the book of the First Kings, degree 18. Then again in a second incarnation, John, the son of Zechariah, called the Baptist, who was not aware whom he was, in the third incarnation as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was the third Elijah sent to prepare the way for myself, Malachi. Each of these was not the final Elijah because you were not willing to accept him. But it was all necessary for the preparation of what I am teaching you now for your understanding and acceptance. I had to take you through several schools of learning before I could get you to this point to get all the stories and names correct in your head. You will become sons of the Elohim, back into the family of the Elohim, after the order of Melchizedek. New words were introduced, and people grabbed on to them quickly and started calling themselves New Wahbians. Instead of black this or black that or Afro this or Afro that, you are New Wahbians. You are originally from Nubia. You have your own language, New Wahbik. You have your own dress and culture. You now have everything you need to go on to the next level. I came giving you what you wanted, Islam, so that you would learn to want what I really have to give. Now you have learned to want what I have to give. The name Nuwabian started spreading throughout the Western Hemisphere. You wore nose rings immediately. Nose rings became a trend. I said you wore braids. That, too, became a trend. I said you wore beads in your hair, and beads on the braids became a trend. I said stop calling them white people. They're not white. They are lepers. That, too, became a trend for all Nuwabian leaders. The curse of Canaan, the Amorite, the 400-year bondage, as opposed to the 430-year bondage of Israel. Everybody would start to pick out of the things that were being said, never knowing that the hope had arrived. The facts beyond any doubt had finally come, and this mysterious spell called the spell of Leviathan was about to be broken, a doctrine that all the previous leaders were feeding off of and pretending that it was theirs, came like a thief in the night, rose up from in your midst. Yet in return for these facts, there was only slander, much gossip, much hearsay. They sent out their best. First, the leaders would try their futile attacks on what he had to say, only to be put in check immediately. Next, they called the Arabs. Go prove him wrong. They came only to leave with their tail between their legs. And with such a fear of me, their only thoughts were, we must kill him. They attempted to approach it from an Arabic standpoint, and it was met with Arabic in its purest form. They came with Hebrew. That, too, was met. Deep in their hearts and in the hearts of their followers, they began to realize that the time had finally come. A revelation was now in order. The events of the enslavement and the abuse is scriptural, as the abuse of the Israelites in Egypt. And this is how and when it all began for us. The mission of our master teacher formed in the late 1960s A.D. under the name Amanubi Ruakata, an unknown writer of the science of Nuwapu. Knowing the Nuwabians weren't ready for that level of information as of yet, I started teaching under the name Imam Isa, for Muslims seemed to be the most influential movements of that time and didn't dare question each other. I set up the headquarters, which was located in Brooklyn, New York, and began in an apartment building on 2525 Bedford Avenue in 1967 A.D. During this time, I named my mission Ansar, Pure Sufi, with usage of the six-pointed star and crescent with an ankh inside. Our official garb at this time was a black tunic we called the butla, and black loose-fitting pants with a tarbush, and shoes which became known as Romeos. This was in the year 1967 A.D. Then the dress changed to African robes, and the people, we called ourselves the Nuwabians. This was in the year 1968 to 1969. In 1969 A.D., the group metamorphosized to the Nuwabian Islamic Hebrews, and the dress changed to a more elaborate style of a dashiki, a black fez and a small bone in the left ear for those who wish to wear it, and a ring in the right nostril. In 1970, the Nubian Islamic Hebrews were founded as an official sect, and communal living was set. Also in the year 1970, the small flock moved to a house on Neptune Avenue on 23rd Street in Coney Island and opened the Pure Sufi Bookstore on 720 Flatbush Avenue. And the layout and printing shop was 492 Flatbush Avenue, right down the block. 2813 West 29th Street served as a meeting place and lecture hall, which was my home in Coney Island. We then relocated and opened a masjid on 222 Utica Avenue. This was a very spiritual period, and many angelic visitors manifested themselves to the growing congregation. Our community was expanding so rapidly, we had to move again in 1972. This time to 452 Rockaway Avenue, where classes were held in what we call the upper room. The next move took us to Carroll Street, where a candy store was open. Later that year, the masjid was reestablished at 838 St. John's Place, and a bookstore was open. I began publishing the pamphlets of peace. I wrote, typed, illustrated, reproduced, and distributed them almost single-handedly. I diligently treaded the streets of New York and the surrounding areas as I propagated Sufi Islam. I was blessed with the gift of gab, combined with a sense of humor and charisma that draws people of all walks of life to me. People began to wonder who this man, who spoke so profoundly and so persistently on many subjects which were previously considered unmentionable. At first, many people joined the mission because it was the style to be black and cultural. I drew many hypocrites, phonies, who just wanted to play Muslim. They didn't want to work to build a nation. They just wanted to dress in African clothing, play drums, and listen to me speak. I called them the first fruits. They were faithful, but not true. In 1972 A.D., after returning from Sudan, I drew a literal line on the masjid floor and said, those who wanted their culture but did not want to sacrifice to build for the future were excluded. The mission was then carried on by those who were willing to work for the perfection. The mission expanded and moved to a new headquarters in Bushwick section of Brooklyn, originally occupying one building, 743 Bushwick Avenue, and then adding on more buildings as time passed until it had grown to a village which presently exists on Bushwick Avenue till this day. Our mission has obtained all its assets through sacrificing without aid of outside funds. Our mission has obtained all its assets through sacrificing without the aid of outside funds. We've established many businesses within our community structure. Immediately, the jealousy and the hatred started. The slander was on the lips of those who could not quite understand where we came from. We donned black tar bushes, and our symbol was simply a crescent, a six-pointed star, and an ankh. We propagated daily. We walked the trains, throughout the buses, on all the college campuses. Our message of the Nubian Islamic Hebrews and Sadr Allah community could be heard. The Nubians that were following Orthodox Islam or many of the other groups would simply say, if you ignore them, they would just go away. They are just a schism. They won't last. We are the true nation. We have the right way. However, as time passed, as time has proven, they are the ones that have fallen away. Their leaders took them absolutely nowhere. As they watched the Ansar Allah community grow worldwide, a link was made with the Ansars of the Sudan, known as the Mahdiya, which welcomed the Ansars of the Western Hemisphere. At this point, we were wearing what we had established as the international garb of the Ansar Allah community, which consisted of a thawb dress and kamar face veil for the female. This face veil which was not a part of the Sudanese original dress, was introduced by the women of the community, who mostly left immediately after and went back to wearing Western attire, leaving the devoted women behind veil. I told them the day would come when this veil would have to be removed while living in the West, and it has. And the jalabiya, a long white garment and batalon, loose-fitting pants, and emma, head covering for the male with an azaba. This angered them more, for it legitimized the Ansar Allah community as being linked to their ancestors in Nubia in one family. But our teachings were still in a baby stage and was growing to adolescence rapidly. We were unique because no human being can find fault in it. There is no confusion in it. Then on into adulthood, our code of dress changed from time to time to suit the time we were in. How many more minutes we got? Okay, let's keep it going. What verse am I at? I lost
our
it.
Garb.
Thank you. 279, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our garb had mutated again in the year 1992 to the Kasnuth tunic and batalon, loose-fitting pants with a sash around the waist in various colors for the male, and the butla, Nubi, for the of the female, which also consists of a tunic and a batalon and a shawl as a head covering of many colors. And the information that was being taught, believing that you must be submerged into the environment of what you're being taught fully, was completed. This again made the fools raise their eyebrows and say of us, I told you they didn't know what they were doing. They keep changing. They used to wear veils, now they don't. Not one of them was intelligent enough to see that this change was their great chance for they, that this chance, nope, that this change was their great chance for they said, those people, those Ansars, they're not real Muslims. Allah does not accept their prayers or their fasting, and they're not going to Jannah. They worship that man, that disco singer, Dr. York. Yet, when the change came, they confessed to themselves and to the Ansar Allah community that all the while they thought of us as Muslims. For they said, I heard they don't fast Ramadan no more. I heard they don't make 5 daily prayers no more. And they destroyed the masjid. I heard their women no longer follow the dress of Al-Quran. They're taking off the veil, and their men no longer wearing the jalabiyas and the emmas. What happened to them? The answer should have been simply, if we weren't Muslims, how could they ask these questions? They confirmed that they looked to us as living according to Al-Quran. Our children were raised speaking fluent classical Arabic, reading the Quran in Arabic. Yet the Quran is a 14-year-old book, and Islam is a 1400-year-old religion, the way they practiced it, and was doing absolutely nothing to change the condition of the Nubian in the Western Hemisphere. They may put on a taghiya, grow a beard or shave their beard, put on oils from the East or rolls from the East, prayer beads in their hands, and carry an English translation of the Quran, but the condition and the state of mind did not change. A sign that with all they had and have been exposed to, with all these teachers and saviors that were still in need of right knowledge, right wisdom, and a right understanding, it is my job to reform all the false teachings that had been taught to Nubians in the West and restore Islam to its pristine purity. It is because of these false teachings of the so-called Arabs who deliberately mistranslated verses of the Quran to confuse non-Arabic-speaking Nubians in the West. The time was right for this prepared savior, so we moved up into the Catskill Mountains of Liberty, New York, and set up what I call Jazir Abba, and set up the 19 tests of 19 weeks of the faithful that would come through blizzards to be taught once that was accomplished. The next move was to Mecca of Nubians, Georgia. The dress then changed to Western attire in order to get everybody away from doing their own thing. Those that truly followed the Lamb, wherever he may lead them, trusted in him and wore Western clothes and even listened to country Western music simply because he asked them to. And now the Holy Tabernacle Ministries is growing worldwide, and the mission is being accomplished. Nubians are allowed to wear what they want. Whatever you wish to wear is your choice. However, we give honor to our great ancestors, and therefore the men wear the Murdoch braid, which is a back of your head called the Faru, or the Pharaoh. See, Pharaoh, okay. And the women also wear the Faru, or the Ninti braid, which is the braid that is an inch above the right ear. You can put beads on your Ninti beads or a gold band on your Murdoch braid. We also wear the Balura, Bendy jewel, in the middle of our foreheads if you want. You can refer to the fifth element, Neff. That's what they were wearing after we started wearing it.
Right.
The fifth element. Yeah, that's where they got it from. Hollywood got it from us.
Right.
Imitating life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were black women.
Way
they were Nubian
fifth
women, too.
Came out.
I find
that absolutely. That's what I'm talking about, the bead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we were wearing the Ninti bead way before the fifth element came out. The sun is truly, many who follow, the letters are pouring in. The letters are pouring in. Even the original followers are waking up. Many who followed other teachers are finding their way to the Lamb. The sun is truly coming out of the east unto the west. And those who endure to the end are receiving the crown of life in the ancient mystic order of Melchizedek, where this message is coming forth to you in order to restore your identity as Nubians. Behold, the Son of Righteousness stands before you with the scroll of Malachi that rebukes the liars for their transgressions. And who will prepare the way for the Messiah by turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father? Or else I, Malachi, will strike the earth with utter destruction. Now you are ready to move on towards the next level and ready to accept what I was giving you originally. A teaching that none could stand against. You were the meek that are here to dumbfound the wise. And so we are at the beginning again with Sufi and Fezzes. Only now we are Sufi under the AMOM, the ancient mystic order of Melchizedek, the beginning of their end. You can't be fooled by any religious doctrine of any kind. No, not nowadays. You have your first tool, this holy tablet, not someone else's interpretation, your own scripture that will dispel all the lies, causing all false things to perish, making the truth come to light. Let me speak to you of my arrival. Can I do it? 10 minutes remaining.
Come on.
Let me speak to you of my arrival. You see, the first time I arrived, I came as a force, an etheric being, while my mother was pregnant. Certain nerves in the brain of the child were altered so that the child would be able to receive a higher intellect, an intellect higher than other normal earth beings who have had their pituitary glands removed. The earth beings will one day have it replaced if they don't destroy themselves. They will use more of their brains, for they have the light body, a physical body, a spiritual body, a mental body, and an etheric body. My assignment is to spiritually re-educate the beings of the planet Earth, who are the children of the Anunnaki, and to prepare 144,000 to be taken up for 1,000 years, then return to save this planet. Originally, Earth was used as a hunting ground by the beings known as Amo, also called Shaggies. Earth was much like what you would call a resort today. Beings from other galaxies would come here to hunt, and so they looked at it, the light of 1,000 lights. Whoever saw his head is to become guide to the successor and Cohen, priest among creatures. Whoever saw his forehead is to become just a star, prince. Whoever saw his eyes is to become one who preserves the word of Anu. who acts on the part of Anu, Elyun, Elyunel, when it's time to be felt in any way, shape, or form. Whoever saw his eyebrows is to become a scribe. Whoever saw his ears is to become one who listens and occupies himself with that. Whoever saw his cheeks is to become one who is a teacher, knowing and having intellect. Whoever saw his lips is to become a sar, prince. Whoever saw his nose is to become a hatim, spiritual doctor. And whoever saw his mouth is to become one who recites. Whoever saw his teeth is to become one who is beautiful of heart among male and female living beings to make others happy. Whoever saw his tongue is to become an apostle. Whoever saw his throat is to become one who admonishes and gives good counsel and a cantor or one who calls the prayer. Whoever saw his beard is to become one full of wisdom in Anu, the source. Whoever saw his neck is to become a merchant. Whoever saw his arms is to become a warrior with a sword who does battle in the way of Anu, the source. Whoever saw his right arm only is to become a cupper. Whoever saw his left arm only is to become of the ignorant. Whoever saw his right palm only is to become a money changer and an embroiderer. Whoever saw his left palm only is to become a corn measurer. Whoever saw his hands is to become generous and ambidextrous. Whoever saw the backside of his left hand is to become a miser. Whoever saw the backside of his right hand is to become a cook. Whoever saw the tips of the fingers of his left hand is to become a musician. Whoever saw the fingers of his right hand only is to become a tailor. Whoever saw the fingers of his left hand only is to become an ironsmith. Whoever saw his chest is to become a noble and diligent one. Whoever saw his back is to become humble and obedient to the command of the tablets to be given as the 613 commandments, and those who can see will see. Whoever saw his side is to become argumentative. Whoever saw his
abdomen.
Is to become one who bows and prostrates often. Whoever saw his feet is to become a rug maker. Whoever saw under his feet is to become a shoemaker. Whoever saw his shadow is to become a builder of the holy places. Whoever saw nothing is to become one who conceals what he knows to be true or rejects the reality. Whoever will not look at him at all will cease to exist. He was, he is, and he will be in the end, having the holy tablets, the scroll of eyes, and the key to time, and the power to hold back Halal, who is the one that was removed from the skies. This is the birth of Merduk, also known as Mikael and Yanun, and his mystery name is Sabathil. He is the ruler of Malakut, the grandson of Anu. This is how it was recorded, and this is how it will be. The holy tablets, y'all. The end. Yeah.
That was good. Good night.
That is the end of the El's Holy Tablets. Yeah, you
that's
like that, Awana?
Nice.
We did it, y'all. We did
back.
It. Went all through it. This is my first time. It's a good time. Our first time experiencing the same thing at the same time. Ain't that
right.
Some good shit?
Right. That's right. It's a collective.
Yep. Well, we got like less than 2 minutes. Anybody want to say something before we get up out of here? We're going to do it again. We're going to start this thing over. Well, I would like to for myself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure Neff would, and I think a
yes.
few other people was like, yeah, let's start
Absolutely.
This thing back.
I'm
let's bring
you.
In McKenzie real quick before we get up out of here. Give me a mic check.
I love y'all niggas. Keep doing what y'all do.
Come on in, I
yep.
said. Give me a mic check. Hey, I said, I miss you, baby.
Oh, I'm here. I just wanted to say you did the damn thing at the same damn time.
Girl, we all did, honey. We pulled the whole El's Holy Tablets off, man.
Yeah.
It's probably been a year right now.
Yeah, just about.
I think we might have started around May or June.
Yeah. I believe it was the summertime, though. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J1 said it was May 4th last year.
Wow.
May 4th. We finished May 11th. This is perfect. Oh, my God.
J1, a straight scribe up in the That's what's up.
They should start doing two nights out the week.
Say what?
Y'all should start doing two nights out the week now.
No, not two nights out the week. We'll do it every Saturday. Every Saturday. We'll keep it consistent. We don't change. We just learn something new that we didn't learn the last time. 365 days minus the, 6 days out of the week. So I don't know how many days it took for us to get this. But I've learned a lot my first time around.
Yes.
This was the first time I learned a lot. I did. And a lot of questions was answered that I had personally within myself. And I hope it happened for some of y'all. So when we go back, well, when we go forward again, hopefully next week we can start the next El's Holy Tablets, or maybe we can take a break. It's up to y'all.
Well, I'm all
beginning.
Nigga, you got a week, man. You can start next Saturday.
Yeah, we keep going full steam ahead.
Yeah, nigga, you got a week. What do you mean take a week off? It's not like you're going 7 days straight with it.
I mean,
7 nights
straight
with it. Pardon self.
Okay. All right, y'all. Well, all right. So we see y'all back next week for Chapter 1. It's Stocklag, the creation.
The creation.
Those holy tablets. We did it. Congratulations, y'all, and happy Mother's Day. We did that, boo.
Sure did.
I'm
looking forward
to
a greater understanding. I really am.
Y'all have a happy Mother's Day up in the A.
We sure will. And you make sure you tell your mother and your sister I say happy Mother's Day, Mackenzie. Happy Mother's Day, I said.
Man, no motherfuckers sitting down here. No motherfuckers in Cancun.
We up out of here, Charlie.
All right.